from the high desert in the great American Southwest. I bid you all good evening, good morning, good afternoon, whatever the case may be, wherever you may be in world's 25 time-informed time zones. All of them covered one way or the other by this program, Coast to Coast AM Weekend Version. Honored to be with you this night. Open lines all night long. Anything you want to talk about is fair game. I do have a question. In the middle of the program last night, it occurred to me, why have I never asked the following question? Heaven knows we've outlined the various ways that it may occur. I'm talking about the end of the world. And so the question is, how do you think the world will end? And we really have. I mean, over the years, we have outlined every conceivable way that the world might end. Everything generally has a beginning and an end. And so I thought, oh, it just hit me like a block. That's going to make a great question for everybody out there and a good one for open line. So let that one caress your skull. Otherwise, anything of great interest to the audience would be appropriate. But if you have an answer to that question, then so be it. Let us look at the world. Oh, there is one thing. The weather. Oh, my God. I'll tell you what. Go to a place called lightningstorm.com and take a look at what's going on across the nation right now. In fact, let me look myself at the current map. It's totally incredible. I flipped on the radio and was talking to a few people just before airtime. The static levels were absolutely out of this world. And I, it's certainly understandable. I mean, when you take a look at the absolutely incredible line of storms that goes virtually from Texas, and I'm talking about supercell storms, that goes from Texas all the way up just about to the Canadian borders, and maybe across the Canadian border, for all I know, certainly up to the Great Lakes. God help those of you who are at the leading edge of this. Now, there have been, over the last day or so, about 100 tornadoes. 100 tornadoes. And it looks like tonight is a continuation of this vicious front tearing across the midsection of the U.S. And so if you're in the middle of that mess right now, or about to be, I would love to know what's going on and how you're faring. But it's going to be a night of terror for a lot of people. Already is a night of terror for a lot of people in that part of the country. It has been awful. Let's see, it says, tornado-laden storms continued battering the Midwest Sunday, destroying dozens of homes in this town, Marengo, Indiana, and tearing the roof off an Indianapolis nursing home. Several people injured by the weekend's tornadoes, which killed, by the way, an elderly man in Marengo, and then three people in Missouri, and ripped through parts of Nebraska and Kansas. High wind blamed for a fourth Missouri death, and then two in Kansas. And again, looking at the map tonight, yikes. In a moment, some more or the rest of the world news. All right, there was a lady that was on last night that was precious. I mean, she was all right. And she called suggesting the way to save the world was to put grow lights on the moon. I don't know why it caught me as funny, but it did. It was a riot. And then, sure enough, today somebody sent me a picture. It's on my web. Go to www.coasttocoastam.com, upper left-hand side, Art's webcam. Click on that. And I forgot to save the email to give credit to whoever did this, but here's a guy sitting on the beach on a rock, you know, just kind of passing the time of night, actually. And above him, here's the moon with grow lights. So, if you wanted a visual for what the moon would look like with grow lights, baby, there it is, up on my webcam. Take a look. All right, the news, always bad. Saudi troops free hostages after attack at some cost. Helicopter-borne Saudi commandos drove Al-Qaeda militants from an expatriate housing complex in the kingdom's oil hub Sunday, ending a shooting and hostage-taking spree that left 22 dead, most of them foreigners. Police were hunting for three assailants believed to have escaped after the attack, the worst terrorist attack on Saudi soil in a year. I wonder what the Saudis are doing to tick off Al-Qaeda. It's an interesting question. Two killed in attack on convoy in Baghdad. The bad news continues from there, of course. Assailants ambushed a convoy of Brits on a northern Baghdad highway Sunday, killing one Iraqi security guard and a bystander. Officials and witnesses said U.S. soldiers came under fire in a Shiite holy city as an agreement to halt fighting there obviously is unraveling. Two American soldiers wounded in clashes around the holy city, Najaf. Fighting erupted Sunday night in Najaf's twin city, Kufa, and Shiite militiamen accused the Americans of firing near the main mosque, damaging its outer wall. Oh, this is interesting. The speed with which U.S. ground forces captured Baghdad and the prominent role played in Iraq by U.S. commandos have led China to rethink how it might counteract the American military in the event of a confrontation over Taiwan, according to the Pentagon. The Chinese also believe, partly from its assessment of the Bush administration's declared war on terrorism, that the U.S. is increasingly likely to intervene in a conflict over Taiwan or other Chinese interests, according to Pentagon analysis. Well, listen to this. A vicious skin eruption, resistant to all but the most powerful antibiotics, has jumped out of New York City hospitals and onto the streets there. The superbug, as health officials call it, can cause anything from reddening of the skin to abscesses, tissue loss, amputation, or even death in severe cases. For decades confined to hospitals where it preyed on patients and built up immunity to antibiotics, the bug known officially as methicillin-resistant streptococcus, or something like that, has grown in strength, usually with infections. You need a break in the skin to pass it, according to the doctor, who has a private practice in Chelsea. Not with this, though, he says. It gets through unbroken skin with casual contact. Want to shake hands? The city Department of Health first detected the infections outside the hospital early last year, according to health officials there. Doctors at some clinics, such as the Callan Lord Community Health Center in Chelsea, are seeing one new case a week now, compared with one every 2 months when the infection first cropped up. Last month, Stephen, who asked his name not be published, developed what he thought was a pimple on his leg, but soon it grew painful, and I might add quite some bit larger. Doctors lanced the boil that formed and began antibiotics, but the infection laughed at the antibiotics, failed to respond, and began growing towards Stephen's groin. The fact it wasn't responding to drugs and it was moving up that way was terrifying, said he. It was eating up tissue. After a lengthy hospital stay and five antibiotics, some administered intravenously and one administered orally at $100 per tablet, and I'm sure from Stephen's point of view, well worth every penny, the infection finally began to abate. New York gets everything. And then this, from Columbia, Missouri. Hey, Art, looks like the coming superstorm might already be here. I live in Kansas City for the first 38 years of my life, and yesterday they had what I believe to be the largest tornado in the area. Yesterday in Platte, That's Platte County, Missouri, near the city of Weatherby. They recorded a tornado over 1.5 miles in diameter. Weatherby is slightly north and east of Kansas City proper. Art, since you're going to be on tonight, I'd be glad to provide confirmation concerning this tornado. You don't need to, buddy. I saw it on CNN. So the weather going on out there is absolutely incredible. Just absolutely incredible. So I would obviously love to hear from some of you in the affected areas. Now, we've promised open lines, and we have a full night coming up exactly. Again, how do you think the world is going to end? Perhaps not by fire. Perhaps not by ice. Perhaps by rock. Perhaps one of these little infections like the one we just discussed in New York will simply finally become immune to the last possible defense we have in the form of some sort of antibiotic and just go raging across all our bodies. I don't know. There's a million different ways it might occur, and you don't want to miss the moon with grow lights. So if you get a chance, go up there and take a look at that. I can't believe it. The picture is every bit as good as the words. That one about took me out last night. You try to remain fairly straight-faced, you know, as you take calls, but every now and then there's one that gets to you, and the lady with the grow lights. First time caller line, you are on the air. Good evening.
Yes, good evening.
Hi.
I'm a rather new time listener. I've been listening to you and George now for about 2 weeks.
That is
and
new.
I wish you were on more.
Well, I used to be, my dear, for well over a decade, much more, and so now I'm quite satisfied to be here a couple of nights a week. What's up?
I can understand that. I couldn't get you last night because we were one of those. I'm calling from a small town in Oklahoma.
Oh.
And we were one of those that were underneath the tornado watch.
What was
and
it?
And we had them all over the place up here.
Yeah. What's it been like actually where you are? I mean, did any of them, any of the ones that were down out of the clouds actually get close?
About, I'd say 10, 15 miles from us.
That's close enough.
Oh, I have been in several tornadoes.
Can you imagine, though, I mean, a day or two with 100 tornadoes, and I can assure you, looking at the map, you know, what you had last night has now moved east, and
yes,
those people are under some pretty terrifying weather.
Yes, I know. I am not a native Oklahoman. I'm originally from western New York, and I never knew what a tornado was until I married my husband and lived here.
Well,
and I've gotten to the point where I know they are dangerous, but I'll tell you what, I don't get as excited now as I used to. It's getting to be old hat.
Old hat, huh?
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure, thank you, that I would ever consider a tornado to be old hat. Perhaps as you discuss them while having a drink at a bar somewhere or, you know, yucking it up with a buddy. Oh, nothing to it. Well, there's a lot to it, and really they never do get to be old hat, not if one gets close to you. I, like an idiot, used to chase them in a Volkswagen with a good buddy of mine, Lynn Whitlake, who's now a weatherman. He went on to be a weatherman. We were buddies in the Air Force at Amarillo Air Force Base in Texas. That's Tornado Alley, and we used to chase those cells all the way up into Oklahoma and take a film of them and then peddle it to the local TV stations. But we did it just for fun in a Volkswagen. Pretty dumb, huh? Wildcard line, you are on the air. Good evening.
How you doing, Art? This is Steven calling you from WDAK News Sports Talk 540 in Columbus, Georgia.
Hey, Steve. I bet you're getting some weather.
Well, no, sir. It hadn't quite gotten to us yet, but in my business, I do pyrotechnic displays.
Uh-huh.
Portion of the Memorial Day weekend starts everything off for us.
Oh, yes.
We had about six this evening that did not go. You know, because when you're doing these shows, in front of the front, we have just an enormous amount of static electricity.
When you say don't go, you mean like one of those big giant firecrackers, the ones that go into the sky?
Oh, yes.
Yeah, right.
We're shooting shells at weigh arts. Sometimes they weigh 12, 14 pounds apiece.
And they didn't, when they just don't go, how long do you wait before you go up and look down into the barrel?
A long time. A long time.
Yeah.
No, but see, well, we fire these shells electrically, and you know, the static electricity that's generated prior to a front coming through.
Yes.
It makes it real dicey. It really does.
I'll bet it does.
You know, I was on the cell phone this afternoon, of course, with the NOAA people.
Right.
You know, checking where everything was going.
Sure.
And this forecaster told me they had over 160 reported tornadoes today.
Wow.
160 in the past 2 days. And this is just incredible because, you know, our weather is so screwed up now. Oh, by the way, I did see your movie on Friday.
Oh, you did?
It was fantastic.
Thank you.
Yeah, it was my wife's anniversary on the 28th, and we went to the 2:45 matinee here in Columbus.
Well, I'm glad you enjoyed it. You know, they're saying in the news it's on its way to a one...
I won't tell you anything about it because I heard
No, don't
night.
Say anything about it, but they're saying it's on the way to a $100 million weekend. That's pretty big.
Hey, it was really cool seeing your name in the credits.
Yeah, I
but anyway,
cool.
But let me. I want to ask you a question after I ask you this.
Sure.
But these storms are just. I mean, the fronts that are coming now should have been coming in late March, early April.
I know.
Now here they're coming in May,
I know.
The jet stream, like you spoke of last night, is way up north.
It flipped north, yeah.
And it's crazy.
Well, it's going to get crazier.
Well, let me ask you. I've just bought a country home, and I hadn't put an antenna up yet. I was thinking about going with XM satellite radio. Are you guys still on the channel?
You better believe it. The Ask. We're on the Ask channel.
The Ask channel.
ASK. Ask.
Well,
yes.
The people where I was looking in to buy this thing, they had no idea who was on.
What would they know? They're just salespeople. It's the Ask channel. ASK.
Okay.
All right.
Fantastic, sir.
Enjoy.
Keep up the good work.
Take care, my friend. Can you imagine having all of these shells ready to go and wired up electrically? And I can tell you, these wires in the middle of an oncoming thunderstorm, you're liable to have your display all at once and very unexpectedly. East of the Rockies, you're on air. Hi.
Hi, Art. Bruce in Toronto. And I was going to mention a little bit about the end of the world, but I just wanted to... kind of confirm what that your last caller was saying about the weather being about a month behind where it usually is. It's still pretty kind of not very warm up here at this time of the year, and it seems like for the last 3 years at least the shorts and t-shirts weather doesn't really kick in until at least the second week of June.
Well, I'm telling you, brother, get ready for the ride.
Yeah. Oh, I am. Although I'm not planning on going and seeing the movie, but there's some.
That's all right. You'll be taking the ride anyway.
Well, I know. That the real one. The reviews have not actually been too good for the movie, but I won't go.
But see, the reviewers, who cares? It's kicking butt. It's going to do $100 million over the weekend.
Reviewers
have always done that. They say one thing and the American public says something else with their dollars.
Oh, I know. It's only live theater reviews that people seem to pay any attention to. When it comes to movies, people just go and see, you know, whatever, and they don't care what the reviews are. But The End of the World.
Yes.
Now, are we talking literally about, like, the complete and total extinction of all life, or are we just...
Well, you may take it any way you want. If all human beings are gone, then the world is over for us. So if you want to take it from that point of view, be my guest.
No, well, I would take it from the point of view, because, I mean, we may be just part of the passing parade, and I'm sure there will be life that would come
after us.
All right,
then fine. For you, let us define it as the end of the world.
Literally, completely,
four human beings.
Well, I would say literally and completely the end of all life on Earth. And if you asked Michio Kaku about it, he would probably tell you that, I don't know, in several hundred million years, or maybe a billion or something, the sun is going to run out of fuel, and it's going to expand into a red giant, which means its outer atmosphere will totally consume the planet Earth.
Yes.
And that means that all water and
yes, sir. But that's billions of years away. So you don't think it will end until then?
Not completely and totally, no. I mean, we maybe get whacked by an asteroid, in which case you might lose about, 70-80% of life on Earth. We may be gone before that ever happens. The way we're going right now, it wouldn't surprise me if we disappeared,
Well, if an asteroid could kill all of the dinosaurs, then it could kill all of us.
All human beings, yeah, for
yes.
sure.
Yes, yes.
But not all life on Earth, not totally and completely.
And you think we'll go those billions of years without getting hit by an asteroid enough to...
No. I think we'll probably get hit by an asteroid the sun finally goes into red giant mode.
Gotcha. All right. Yeah. So we're asking tonight, you folks, how you think the world will end, if you think it will. From the high desert, the middle of the night, I'm Art Bell.
Sign up for StreamLink at www.coasttocoastam.com, and you can hear tonight's show over and over and over. Talk with Art Bell. Call the Wildcard Line at area code 775-727-1295. The first time caller line is area code 775-727-1222. To talk with Art Bell from east of the Rockies, call toll free at 800-825-5033. From west of the Rockies, call 800-618-8255. International callers may reach Art by calling your in-country Sprint access number, pressing option 5. And dialing toll-free 800-893-0903. From coast to coast and worldwide on the Internet, this is Coast to Coast AM with Art Bell.
We're saved. Grow lights on the moon. You gotta see this photograph. I couldn't resist, so it's up on my webcam pic right now. Coast to Coast AM.com, and then the upper left-hand side, you'll see Art's webcam. Click on that. What a precious picture! Once again, how do you think the world will end? We have presented you with so many scenarios here on Coast to Coast AM that surely one of them you must like. International Line, you're on the air. Hi.
Hi, Art. Good evening. How's your back doing?
Operable.
There you go. Paul calling from Vancouver, British Columbia, listening to 1410 CFUN.
CFUN, yes, indeed.
Absolutely. I got a couple comments, and then I'll tell you how the world's going to end.
Okay.
My first comment is, what's happening on the Mars probes? Have the batteries died? I haven't heard anything from them lately.
You know, it is true. I haven't seen any photographs. But then again, I haven't seen any stories saying it died. So, yeah, where are the photos?
Right. Okay. My second thing is,
yes?
How come we're getting all these warnings right now from the U.S. government warning about Al-Qaeda? I mean, it seems kind of funny. When 9/11 happened, we're getting all this stuff that there were no warnings, and all of a sudden... Now we're getting warnings this time. Is it to probably save somebody's job maybe or something, or what do you think?
Well, I don't know. They always say they have good sources for for the reason for the warning, and many times it doesn't come to pass. But yeah, I guess they feel a responsibility to warn the American public.
Well, sure, but I just hope it's not really a scare tactic.
Yeah, well, I hope not, too. They listen to the chatter, you know, various means. We have agents in the field, and they monitor electronically, and when the chatter level goes up, they issue warnings.
Yeah. What I heard something's supposed to happen July 4th.
Did you?
Yeah, well, listen to your radio station. I just heard the clues. Okay, and then I guess how I think the world's going to die, I've got three options. Either 2006, between 2006 and 2008, I think...
That's when, not how.
Okay, I think there's going to be a nuclear conflict.
Ah.
Okay.
That would do it.
The second would be an asteroid hitting.
Of the two, which do you think more likely?
Nuclear incident.
Well, an incident would be not necessarily the end of the world. An all-out conflict between, say, Russia and America,
China.
Probably throw China into, that would do it.
Yeah. I sure hope it doesn't.
I sure hope not, too, but I would say the odds of our blowing ourselves up are greater than not.
Hey, listen, saw your movie last night. Fantastic.
Oh, you went to it.
Excellent. Oh, yeah, just for the special effects and visual effects. An excellent story, too.
It's a real ride.
Yeah.
No question about it.
I hope you get a piece of the pie on that show.
Well, we'll see. I told the audience that compared to 10.5, this, you know, 10.5 would be a picnic, and it was compared to this. I mean,
yeah,
this
thing doesn't even come close.
This thing grabbed you early and never let you go.
Fantastic movie.
Appreciate it. Thank you.
Have a good night.
Take care. Yeah, it's very satisfying that it's doing very well. I'm very pleased about that. And hopefully at the end of it all, it will cause some people to think about the effect that we may be having, underline may, on our own environment, you know, the water we drink, the air we breathe, where we live. First time caller line, you're on the air. Hi.
Hey, Art.
Yes, sir.
In Las Vegas.
Welcome.
How are you, man?
Just spiffy.
Hey, so back in time. Let's go back in time, man.
Back
Let's talk about time. Like a dearly departed Terrence McKenna.
Oh, of course.
You know the whole DMT story. I do too. I used to live in San Francisco, so I was living out in San Francisco. 1997, September 11th, I'm listening to your show for the first time, basically. And
what a night to listen.
Yeah, for those people out there in radio land, you were mysteriously knocked off the air at just a really bizarre point in time.
Yes. Right in the middle of a man screaming about what he knew about Area 51, what was going to happen to us. And then he began screaming. Boom, we went off the air. The satellite flipped out. And, yeah.
Yeah, basically the disasters are coming, the government knows about them, and blah, blah, blah. So, you know, you never spoke publicly about the last 30 seconds of that call.
The last 30 seconds of that call, and the part that you didn't hear, was simply filled with screaming at the very top of his lungs. He screamed in such a blood-curdling way, and of course at that point, I actually thought that was going over the air, but the satellite had done its thing. And it didn't. You only heard a little bit of it. The rest of it was all screaming, sir.
Well, you know, let's draw the connection here. Synchronicity, Carl Jung, you know. I believe in it firmly, fully. I've seen it demonstrated on and on over the years. And for that to occur on September 11th, and then for September 11th to happen, coupled with the fact that the dream I had the morning of, I'm prepared to fly, I'm going out to McCarran, going to San Francisco on business. I wake up, I'm having this dream, I'm like standing like down at the bottom, I thought it was World Trade Center. There's this girl standing next to me, she keeps laughing. I said, what's going on? So there was a plane sticking out of the building, it looked like a cartoon. And she said, Harry Houdini did it. You know, so I hit snooze, I go back, next thing you know, I'm on top of the building, same girl looking down, she's saying the same thing. Well, as we all know, Houdini like symbolizes a trickster, a magician. Things are not as they seem. Things are just not as they seem.
Well, that thing was, unfortunately, as it seemed. You should have seen all the email that I received because of a caller last night. Now, that's another topic we can take up if you really want to tonight. I'm not in any way afraid of it. I'm happy to talk to you about it. The lady called and was in the middle of trying to convince me or tell me that the secret government / the shadow government / whatever you want to call it was responsible for 9/11, and that our government was complicit in the whole thing. Something I totally don't buy, but if you really want to spout that stuff, you can come and give it a shot. But I don't believe it for a second. I think that 9/11 was exactly what it appeared to be. And you know, it could turn out there would be some facts about it we didn't know, like, for example, maybe the plane that was headed toward the White House, well, maybe it was shot down. Maybe it was. Who knows? But, and maybe there are some other facts that we don't know. And, of course, the 9/11 Commission is on the way with all of this. But I don't for one second, not for one second, do I believe that our government was complicit in 9/11. But I can tell you a lot of people do. And before this night is out, you will hear from them. Wildcard Line, you are on the air. Hi.
Me?
You.
How's it going, Art?
It's going just fine.
This is Jeff from Ferguson, Missouri, listening on KTRS.
Missouri, huh?
Yep. I was at work when the storms hit this evening.
About what time did they hit you?
Around 5-ish.
And how was it?
It wasn't too... I mean, the sirens went off and everything, but we didn't get hit directly.
Mm-hmm. Did you see any thunderheads in the area that looked like...
Well, they had us at the center of the store, so I couldn't see anything.
I see.
And for the thing of the world ending...
Oh, yes.
I believe it will be... First, I want to welcome you back. I haven't had a chance to do that.
Thank you.
And you picked an excellent choice for a replacement, George and Ari.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. And I would like to hear you and him on a program together, like hosting, co-hosting.
I never do that. I never do that. I don't know why. For some reason, I've always had this thing about working alone. And all these years, I've never done a co-host kind of deal.
Well, I recently watched a movie on DVD, The Day After, from 1983.
Oh, yes.
That's out on DVD now.
Right.
And I think the 10-point, I think that some kind of nuclear exchange.
So you think that would do the trick?
Pretty much. I think that's more likely the way things are going right now.
I'm afraid I agree with you. I do agree that I think the most likely scenario is by our own hand, one way or the other. By our own hand. And I do understand that MAD, or Mutual Assured Destruction, which it definitely is, has prevented, until this moment at least, a nuclear exchange and nuclear holocaust and virtually the end of the world, perhaps as described best by On the Beach. Remember that? Those of you that saw either the original or the revised and newer edition, both were very, very good. And it could certainly end in about that manner. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hi.
Hi, Art.
Hello.
This is Nancy from Worcester.
Nancy.
From Mile High City.
Yes, ma'am.
My father's Carl Letter, we're going to be 1LC. And I understand you raised your tower.
I beg your pardon?
You raised your tower for your ham radio?
Yes.
Very good.
I've got a total of 13 towers up to hold the antenna.
Good. Dad used to run it on one tower off of the garage and called all over the world.
Mm-hmm.
But he's on silent keys right now. What I want to say is I believe in the quantum physics principle of the burrito for time. Excuse me. For time.
Yes.
And that I believe that what you see, what you've talked about in the past, that these aliens are actually us coming back from the future. Under that principle.
Well, you definitely can't rule it out, Nancy. If there ever is to be time travel, and assuming we don't blow ourselves off the face of the earth, then we should be getting visitors from our future. And for all I know, we are.
Right.
And
the other thing is, this past winter, I spent in a winter rental down in Sandwich by the Cape.
Yes.
We had a lot of giant tankers that came in from Monrovia in Russia.
Yes.
They had to offload them, especially the large ones, out in the bay.
I heard all about that.
Yes, and we had lots of ice chunks that washed up. They hadn't done that for, I guess, 30 years. And also, the new tunnel that goes through Boston, when they built it, they were told by the workers that they weren't doing it properly to stop the leakage.
Mm-hmm.
The contractor wouldn't allow them to fix it at that time. So now they're going to have to go back in and redo it.
Really?
So that it won't flood.
Really?
That's why it's been flooding.
Incredible. All right. Well, thank you very much. And you have a good night. And thanks for all the info. West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hi.
Hello.
Hello.
Yeah, Jack here. I'm calling you from the Oregon coast.
Yes, Jack.
Listening to KEX, I guess, in Portland.
Portland, yes.
Yeah, you know, Art, oh, by the way, the grow lamp from the moon's great. But anyway, yeah, you know, I looked at this starting right here at home, okay?
You looked at what?
Considering the end of the world,
oh,
how would it end, okay?
Yes.
So I live in a county that has about 25,000 people, and I've been here 12 years. And in that length of time, I either knew casually or fairly well 5 suicides, and one of them was a murder suicide. I've known kidnappings and murders. They run a roster in the local paper here.
Mm-hmm.
And this is 25,000 people. Our neighbors can't get along with each other, right? And I'm looking at this and I'm saying, gee, if this is the way it is with an area that's supposed to be, relatively friendly. I says, how would it be worldwide, or how about nationwide? And then I was listening, I think it was probably your show.
Well, what are you referring to? If aliens should land, you mean?
No. What I'm referring to is mankind can't get along with mankind. Because
right.
You can't get along with your neighbors.
Right.
That's the point I'm making.
Your point is well made.
Yeah, and the thing is in, on your
so
program,
how are they going to get along with aliens?
Not very well.
Well,
oh, yeah, they'll get along with them. Bang, 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 bang.
Yes.
That's the way they'll get away. That's the way they'll
I have frequently said the little green guys will never make it to the bottom of the saucer steps. They're going to just be
not.
So full of lead, they'll roll
yeah,
down.
Yeah, and then your archaeology has met some of these fellows have been mentioning that they found glass in, they dig down and they hit glass in, Pakistan, India, and, I think somewhere in South America, which says long, long time ago, it was all melted.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what do you think that means? And do you think we've learned anything since then? They were a high level civilization way back thousands and thousands of years ago, and then we declined, and here we come back up again. You know what? I predict in the future, probably beyond my lifetime, that we're going to do it again.
May well be. Well, you mentioned the very deep holes, and here's an opportunity to do it. The Russians, as you know, drilled a hole in Siberia, and they went down farther than man has ever drilled a hole into the ground before. And there is an Associated Press, a Reuters story that supports all of this. Reuters wrote a story about it. And years ago, somebody sent me of what the Russian scientists recorded when they lowered a microphone into this hole. And I've had this all these years, and I've had an awful lot of emails lately asking to play it again, and I'm going to do that. This is pretty chilling stuff. Needless to say, Reuters said that after hearing the following recording, and heaven knows we may not even have all of it, but after hearing this, the Russian scientists quit work. They capped the whole thing off and went away. Here's what the microphone picked up. Listen to this. So, if you were a Russian scientist and you had just retrieved a mic from the hole and had played that back, what would you have done? East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hi.
Art Bell.
Yes, indeed.
Oh, man. First of all, I'd like to say that this is an honor to speak with you. I've been listening to your show since I was 14. And
wow. What is your first name?
Danny.
Danny. How old are you now, Danny?
I'm 17, sir.
3 years, huh?
Yes.
All right.
and you've taught me to always keep an open mind about anything I hear, and I just really appreciate that.
Well, you know what, Danny, actually that's the central purpose of this program. Sometimes, and I say this to people, we explore things that are probably total BS. Many times we explore things that turn out to be headlines in a very short time. So, you know, you're going to hear the cutting edge here, one way or the other, and it's up to you to make up your own mind, Danny, about what's BS and what's a real thing.
Yeah, well, you certainly do hear a variety of things on this program.
Yes.
I've learned to take them with a grain of salt and really thoroughly examine them, whether they're true or not.
Well, if these subjects are not brought up in any forum at all, then people don't expand their minds and think about things they normally wouldn't. Anyway, what's up otherwise?
Well, I was calling in regards to the end of the world.
Yes.
And I don't think it'll happen.
You don't?
No, I believe that by the time humanity gets to a point where we'll have to take that into consideration, we will have evolved technologically and culturally to a point where we'll be able to conquer anything that is thrown at us, whether it be an environmental catastrophe or something that is a socioeconomic issue.
Danny, do you think that we will eventually evolve and leave our physical bodies altogether, evolve out of our physical bodies into pure beings of energy and light?
Well, that certainly is a fascinating concept. However, I'm more inclined to remain in the materialist tradition, and I just think that our minds will get to a point where we'll have all the energy of the universe at our disposal. We'll be able to harness the power of black holes.
It may well be, Danny, that all of the energy of the universe is at our disposal, and in the very way you described. And that would coincide with some of the experiments that I once did on this program regarding mass concentration and the power of the mind. Ultimately, that's where it all may be. From the high desert, in the middle of the night, which is our place, this is Coast to Coast AM.
Call the Wildcard Line at area code 775-727-1295. The first time caller line is area code 775-727-1222. To talk with Art Bell from east of the Rockies, call toll free at 800-825-5033. From west of the Rockies, call Art at 800-618-8255. International callers may reach Art Bell by calling your in-country Sprint access number, pressing option 5. And dialing toll-free 800-893-0903. From coast to coast and worldwide on the Internet, this is Coast to Coast AM with Art Bell.
Open lines. Hey, remember last night we were talking about Yellowstone? Listen to this. Salt Lake City, magnitude 7.9 earthquake that rocked Alaska in 2002, changed the activity of geysers and hot springs more than 3,000 kilometers away. The Denali Fault earthquake on November 3rd, 2002, was one of the strongest of its type in North America in the last 150 years, researchers said. It triggered smaller quakes in Wyoming's Yellowstone National Park. Now researchers have found the quake also changed the timing and behavior of some of the geysers and hot springs at Yellowstone. Seismologist Robert Smith of the University of Utah and his colleagues monitored 22 of Yellowstone's 10,000 geysers during the winter of 2002 and 3. Several small hot springs not known to have geysered before suddenly surged into a heavy boil with eruptions as high as 1 meter. The temperature of one of them rose from 42 to 93 degrees centigrade and became much less acidic. Another hot spring that was usually clear became muddy. Smith suspects the quake's waves changed water pressure to the geysers, and I wonder what else. This program has laid out examples of how the world might end over the years. It has done it again and again and again. And so tonight's question is, ever so simply, how do you think the world will end? And we've had a myriad of answers so far. Dominating thus far, though, would be man's own hand, you know, by throwing the switch. First time caller line, you're on the air. Hi.
Hi, Art. How are you?
I am just fine. How about yourself?
I'm doing good. I'm a first-time caller from Des Moines, Iowa. Listening to you on KXNO.
Yes, sir.
I would definitely agree with the throwing the switch, taking us out.
You too, huh? You think somebody will push the switch?
Yeah, if not that, it's going to be the weather that we're having here.
yes, you're in Iowa. You've been right in the middle of that.
Oh, yeah. In fact, just like the other day, we had this storm come through, and I'm at work. And I work in a big box retail. And you look out the front doors, and you can't hardly see anything. And believe it or not, you still got customers coming in and shopping, tornado sirens going off, you know, no big deal.
You mean people just get used to it and ignore it?
It kind of seems that way, you know. Nobody ever really takes it seriously up here.
Man, oh, man. If a tornado siren, you know, they don't set off the sirens generally until somebody's spotted one on the ground, more or less headed in your direction, right?
That's exactly what it was. It was just a few, I think Norwalk was a town south of us is where it had touched down, that it was spotted.
Exactly.
Not that far from us.
Exactly. And so if the sirens went off, I would not be inclined to go on as usual. I'd head for the nearest basement.
Yeah, I wish we had one.
Oh. Well, ditch. You know, that's another good place to be in a tornado. Tornadoes tend to skip over ditches, so if you're ever out there, jump in a ditch.
Yeah.
Lay flat.
Definitely.
That's your best shot.
Oh, I got to say. Oh, Art, that tape you played earlier?
Yes.
Oh, that freaked me out.
And if you had been the scientist who had just lowered that mic into the ground and received that?
I would have definitely plugged the hole.
Plug the hole and get the hell out of there.
Yeah, no doubt. I hope that's not real.
I hope that's not real either. I appreciate your call. Yeah. You know, on the one hand, you would tend to reject the notion because it's such the traditional picture of hell, the center of the earth populated by those suffering souls screaming in all of eternity as they burn, burn, baby, burn. I don't know if I buy into that, but it is chilling, and, you know, I really hope it's not true either, but they did run the story, and that is exactly the audio described, and, you know, can I know that's the real audio? No, but it was sent from a very good source, which accompanied that story. A wildcard line, you're on the air. Hello.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi, Art.
Hello.
This is Jude from Missouri.
Hey, Jude.
Hey,
Jude.
We're kicking it up here.
Yeah, you're in Missouri, huh?
Uh-huh, I'm in the suburbs of St. Louis.
Oh, brother.
And we've had the sirens, and we've had the hail, and I got my mother on the couch, I got people sleeping everywhere, and I'm out under the carport, because I'm like you used to be in the Volkswagen.
It's terrifying.
But I don't get terrified.
I did, and I just chased, you know. I'd say, come on, Lynn, stop,
oh,
stop.
You would like it?
Well, there's a certain weird side of me that I chase them, so yeah, I guess in a way.
Yeah, because the sirens go off, and some of my family get terrified, and it doesn't even faze me. And we've had some bad ones. A fellow got killed about 7 miles from here, a tree fell on his...
Well, okay,
yeah.
How can it not phase you? If the sirens are going off, this means someone spotted a tornado. And
I think I was at McDonald's.
Uh-huh. And so it's just quarter Mac as you quarter pounder or whatever as usual, huh?
It's just, you know, I think you get kind of used to it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, all I can see if it's going to really get bad, then I know what to do, you know?
Well, I don't know. It's going to be then, you're going to be found like by some archaeologist in the future, like 10,000 years from now, with a Big Mac hanging from your mouth, you know? All right, well, listen, I appreciate your call. Thank you very much. Look, don't ignore sirens. I don't know about what's about these people. If sirens go off, that's a serious warning, folks. That means somebody has seen a tornado or they've spotted it on radar and there's one out there. And so you don't just ignore and go on with whatever you're doing. West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello.
Hello, Art.
Hi.
Hey, this is Jeff in Grass Valley, Northern California.
Yes, sir.
Fellow ham, the one in the moon bounce.
Howdy.
First, I wanted to, before I give my end of the world scenario, pass on some solar observations I've had in the last few weeks.
Solar observation? You've been looking at the sun. You're not supposed to do that, you know.
Well, I do have the telescopes we're talking about in the radio and on my solar panels.
Okay.
I was doing some work on the solar panels, and I have a relatively small system. And I looked up, and I was reading over 500 watts more than I've ever seen before.
Oh, really?
And I was just like, wow, that's really high.
Where is this coming from?
And I ran down, and I went and flipped on the moon bounce array on 432 and wheeled it around across the sun because we use that to check sun noise
in
our system.
Sure.
And it was just off scale.
Well, you know, it's funny you should mention that because there have been some 6-meter openings in the last few days. Something's going on with respect to the sun. I don't know what, but when 6 meters begins to open, you know things are happening.
And then it abruptly died off, and I came back down here, and I was back down 500 watts lower than I've back down to the normal ranges.
Oh, that's fascinating.
So it was a really interesting
Do me a favor. If that occurs again, get hold of me right away. I'd like to be able to cross-check it. I can go out and check my own gauges and see what the output of my panels is doing. I'd love to see that.
Yeah, it was real interesting. So anyway, end of the world.
Yes.
This came to me a few weeks ago or a month ago or so. You had some guests on that were talking politics, and they're talking about how George Bush was probably going to...
Politics may end the world, sir. Anyway,
well,
go ahead.
He would probably win the election, and then how Hillary Clinton was being propped up, possibly for a run in 2008.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, that ancient Mayan calendar ends at 2012.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so...
So then
Hillary Clinton gets elected.
Hillary Clinton may usher in the end of the world.
Hey, you know, 4 years of Hillary Clinton, that would be enough.
That would be the end of the world for a lot of people. Humorous, sir. Thank you.
73.
Yeah, take care. That's 73 is ham talk for best wishes and later and all that stuff. International Line, you're on the air. Hi.
Hello.
Hello.
I'm sorry. I was laughing at his comment.
I heard that, yes.
It was Sheila calling from London, Ontario. I have a theory about the end of the world, but... First, I'd like to thank Danny for his call. As a parent, it was very heartwarming and encouraging to hear a young person optimistic and well-spoken.
Yes.
So my theory about the end of the world is a little different. T.S. Eliot wrote a poem that ended, not with a bang, just the way the world will end, not with a bang, but a whimper.
Mm-hmm.
I think the world's going to end with the degradation of the Y chromosome, as your guest said.
Oh, the end of man, yeah.
Yeah, and men will die,
mm-hmm.
and within 2 generations, we women are going to bore each other to death.
I suppose that could happen. There are many women out there. In fact, several of them called during the program you just referenced.
Oh, I bet.
And they, frankly, felt that the world would be a far better place without men, and they were all prepared for it, if not anxious.
I mean, intellectually speaking, one would find that difficult to argue with. However, a lot of the fun would go out of it. we would bore each other to death. We'd talk each other to death in 2 generations.
I'm sure that would happen. I mean, you would be sorry if we were gone.
Well, I would. As vexatious as you are, I would miss you very much, especially that liquid honey voice of yours. And my regards to Ramona. Thank you for taking my call.
She's in the very next room. Thank you very much, and take care. Yes, there were a number of rather outspoken women that called during that program that frankly found the professor's scenario not only pleasing, but not happening quick enough for their taste. First-time caller line, you are on the air. Hello.
Hello, Mike Cullen from Minneapolis.
Hey.
Hey, and I got some information some people might be interested in hearing about the end of the world. Mm-hmm. Let's see, you're familiar with Michio Kaku?
Vaguely, yes. I've heard
he's been on the show many times, and he has talked about in hyperspace type 1, type 2, type 3 civilizations.
And as you know, we are type 1 now, on the cusp, but type 1.
Very close to type 1, and the interesting thing about it is if you get to type 2, you're virtually immune to extinction. And if you can get to type 2, or once the technology starts, you can get to type 2 within a couple thousand years.
But that's a big if.
Well, that's a big if, but if you don't destroy yourself, you see what that lady was talking about before.
And the trouble of this whole discussion is you can't tell me about it without saying if.
Okay, well,
if only we don't.
There's only four ways you can destroy the world.
Oh, really?
Really?
I can think of more.
Well, there's only four main ways. One is you stay in a type zero civilization,
yes,
which means that you don't control the energy of the planet.
Right.
So either man destroys...
It controls you.
Exactly. It controls you. So the... How can I say this?
I don't know.
Man destroys himself through warfare or through some kind of cataclysmic event.
That's one.
That's one. The second way is a natural cycle, where since they don't control... man doesn't control the planet...
Mm-hmm.
The Earth flips, the Yellowstone explodes.
Got it. That's two.
That's two. The third is, if those don't happen, you get to a type one civilization.
Well, wait a minute.
Yeah.
What about incoming asteroids?
Well, that's what I was getting to.
You were?
Yeah. Oh, yes. If you get to a type one civilization, you can only be destroyed by incoming asteroids because you control the whole planetary energy.
Mm-hmm.
So... Type 1 means you're only basically control the energy. You've got past the warfare part of it, and you can only be destroyed by asteroids. You get to Type 2, which is like a Star Trek, Star Wars civilization.
Yes.
You can you can't be destroyed by planets because you have all the defense shields up by then anyway, like the Death Star and all that. You're not going to be destroyed by that. You're immune to extinction. So at that point, it becomes a mute conversation because there is no more end of the world. Except for one more way, and that's the fourth way.
And that is?
When the sun eventually burns out.
Hmm. Well, by then, we ought to be a type, you know, like three.
Well, type three, exactly, so we'll just move to a different sun. So in effect...
You've left out a number of things here. Like, for example...
Only four.
Only you're four.
Oh, okay.
What about a scientist screwing around with genetics and coming up with a virtually indefensible... absolute killer bug?
That falls into type zero, where we destroy ourselves somehow.
Well, I guess it would fall into that category. All right, thank you very much. But I've always considered that to be of high probability, something that would get out, and you know they're working on that stuff, right? And if they're not, then they're derelict in a way, because we've got to protect against what other scientists are doing elsewhere in that category. East of the Rockies, you're on the air.
Hi, Mr. Bell.
Hello, you have hum.
Hi, my name's Carl. I'm calling from rural Pennsylvania, southwestern region.
Yes, sir.
By June 17th, I will be Dr. Sims.
Congratulations.
In any case, I have four things to talk about very quickly. First of all, I don't have any really insight into this, but I suspect that the end of the world will come by some bacterial method, whether it's induced by a terrorist or perhaps natural.
Yes.
I don't know, but I suspect.
All right, we've got to hurry through this because we've got a very bad connection.
Really?
Yes.
Oh, geez. Okay. Well, I've enjoyed your show for a few years, and I haven't slept in 20 hours. And
you haven't slept in 20 hours?
No, I apologize for this. I just went through my dissertation. In any case, I know you've talked about mind control over the weather.
Yes.
And I wonder if it would be possible to, I realize you don't want to interfere with the weather patterns, correct?
Mm-hmm, correct.
But I wonder if it would be possible to possibly practice a benign experiment. For example, freezing a relatively large body of water.
See, well, you mean like, say, one of the Great Lakes?
No, heavens no.
No.
I mean, for example, something the size of maybe even a pool.
A pool.
Yeah. But nevertheless, I mean, something in your area that if we could all concentrate on, that it would be demonstrable.
Okay. All right. Right. I'm going to explain to you, sir, off air. How do we know when it comes to the power of the mind and the power of mass concentration and millions of minds working on any single thing, what the unintended consequences, even of something like befreezing a pool, for example? That sounds relatively benign, right? But what if something goes wrong and, I don't know, you know, I mean, just throw out, there's a family swimming in the pool at the time. They're stopped, right? They're frozen. And to a degree, I'm kidding. What if we miss? What if we do freeze one of the Great Lakes? Or what if the whole thing backfires and it just cools the atmosphere in a place where it ought not and some horrible storm occurs? What I'm trying to say is we don't know what we're doing in this area. And until we do, I think that experiments with this kind of thing are reckless. And I think that to some degree I behaved recklessly in doing that many experiments at all. I began to realize, oh, this is a real power. But we don't know what we're doing with it. And I think it's irresponsible to wield that kind of power when you really don't know what you're doing. And in several cases, for example, areas that had not received rain, we produced rain all right, but that, you know, was followed by flooding. And this kind of thing gets your attention. So I'm going to take it easy on that till I know more. West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hi.
Hi, Art. Ken in Anchorage.
Hey.
Hi. If I could change the subject from all the doom and gloom for a minute, I have a question for you.
Sure.
Once upon a time here, not too long ago, I found myself in a law enforcement capacity on the local Air National Guard base. It was in concurrence with yours and Ramona's trip to Alaska.
Oh, yes.
One beautiful do-nothing evening, we received a call of personnel in civilian clothes in our restricted area, both smoking cigarettes and taking photographs, which as an ex-Air Force person, you might understand that smoking and taking photographs in, you know, an aircraft area is a no-no.
Oh, I bet, yes. Mm-hmm.
Well, we responded out there and didn't find anybody.
Uh-huh.
And then about a week later, a photograph come across my computer that was taken on our north ramp of someone who appeared to be Art Bell standing in the middle of two of our fly guys smoking cigarettes and grinning like fools. I just wondered if that was you.
Well, hell yeah, it was me.
I would have loved to have shaken your hand.
I've got the pictures by the helicopters standing right there looking mean as hell. It was a lot of fun. All right, sir. Thank you very much.
Yeah,
that was me, all right. And Ramona was there as well. So we were probably the unknown intruders. From the high desert in the middle of the night, I'm Art Bell.
It used to fade so nice. It used to
To talk with Art Bell, call the Wildcard line at area code 775-727-1295. The first-time caller line is area code 775-727-1222. To talk with Art Bell from east of the Rockies, call toll-free at 800-825-5033. From west of the Rockies, call 800-618-8255. International callers may reach Art by calling your in-country Sprint access number, pressing option 5. And dialing toll-free 800-893-0903. From coast to coast and worldwide on the Internet, this is Coast to Coast AM with Art Bell.
It is open lines, folks, with the question hanging out there. How do you think the world will end? That's it. How do you think the world will end? Right in the middle. Right in the middle of a long, long holiday weekend. International line, you're on the air. Hi. Hello?
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 Hi, this is Matthew. I'm actually calling from right outside of Seattle.
Hey, Matthew. Oh, near Seattle, huh?
Yeah, I'm in Whidbey Island.
According to last night's show, Seattle's in for it, buddy.
Well, I hope not while I'm here.
So,
okay, my take on things. I used to subscribe to the idea of fire and ice and destruction and all that stuff, but recently I've come to a conclusion that there's going to be a shift in consciousness. I really am believing that.
What kind of shift in consciousness? People talk about that all the time, and what do you mean by that? I mean, one day we're going to be doing all the normal fighting that we do as human beings, and the next day we'll all join hands and embrace each other and realize we love our fellow man and that kind of stuff, or what?
I really think it depends on your state of mind, you know? What do you really believe? What do people really believe?
Well, I mean, yes, but you're talking about a mass change in consciousness. Of what kind?
Well, you know, I think it all started with 2001, you know? I think it started with September 11th, and shocking people into a state. And is it a state of fear? Is it a state of hope?
War is what it really is.
It is a state of war at this point, you know, but how are we going to come out of this, you know? Are we going to join hands and are we going to...
It doesn't appear that way.
I don't know. I want to have hope and I want to hold out. I mean, within the past year or so, I've been noticing a lot of synchronicity, a lot of things happening, all having to do with my personal state of consciousness, you know?
Uh-huh.
And if we can change the way that we think toward each other, you know, not believe in mass hype that's going on, even though it is happening, I'm not saying that it's not happening, but why can't we change it? You know, you talk about the experiments that you've done over the past few years.
Yes.
And maybe that wasn't right, you know. Maybe it was irresponsible. But why can't we use this media and this tool that we have, the Internet, and because, this consciousness that is growing? Why can't we use that to...
The tool we don't understand well enough to use, in my opinion, yet. It's best, for the moment, left in the universities where it's being studied. That's not to say that backed up against the wall, and I've said this before, you know, if we were really backed up against the wall and something was going to do away with us, well, I would not hesitate for one second. I mean, if a giant rock were said to be headed toward the earth or something of that magnitude, I'd be on it like a cheap suit. All over it, and we'd have all of you pushing that rock as hard as we could, because at that point, what the hell, right? Otherwise, though, short of that kind of catastrophic possibility, I think that the use of that is not well enough understood, and that there could be dire consequences. First time caller line, you are on the air. Hello.
Hello, Art?
Yes.
Hi, my name is Dennis, calling from Livonia, Michigan.
Okay, Dennis, you're going to have to speak up really loud, because you're not too loud.
Okay, calling from Livonia, Michigan, just a few miles away from George's hometown.
Oh, yes.
And I don't think it's going to be one thing that's going to end the world. I think it's going to be like a 10-round fight. It's going to be a series of jabs. I think it's going to be probably first weather. And then because of the weather, I think there's going to be famine and then plagues. I think we're going to have our share of earthquakes and volcanoes going off. And I think the whole thing's going to end with a polar shift.
Huh.
And that's going to finalize it. That would finalize it.
Yeah.
That's going to take away, that's going to do everybody that hasn't already been killed by all of the rest of it. And I think that's the warning.
Do you really believe that?
Oh, yeah, without a doubt.
You really believe that strongly?
Sure, because...
And you must be conducting your life in some certain way. I mean, what you have just described is an abysmal, horrible, multiple-punch kind of...
But that's what the Book of Revelations tells us what's going to happen.
It doesn't say anything about a polar flip.
It describes the things that happen in the polar shift. And if you listen to the warnings that Garabandal del Spain, the three peasant girls in the 60s were given a vision of the Virgin Mary, she said that there's going to be a warning, a miracle, and then a cataclysm or a catastrophe, a cleansing.
You just sort of attach that one on.
Pardon?
You just sort of attached that one on the pole flip.
Well, no. In addition to that, they said that there's going to be a celestial event that's going to appear as two stars hitting each other or a star hitting a planet. There's going to be a celestial collision.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe that the Nibiru or Planet X or whatever you want to call it,
yes,
is going to come flying by. And this is going to be the pièce de résistance. This is going to end it all. It's going to come flying by.
And that'll cause the pole flip.
Without a doubt.
Okay, all right, I've got it. Well, yes, you know, it kind of hit me during the program last night that all these various people we've had on, from scientists to people, intuitives, to remote viewers, to archaeologists, to, well, like my guest last night, all of them talk about cycles in the same range, 11, 13,000 years, right in there, cycles that sort of cleanse the planet and, you know, like hitting a reset switch or something. Personally, I think it's going to be our own hand, a scientist inventing some new totally resistant bug. So the first sound of the end of the world might be, that could be it. The end of the world. Achoo. Wildcard line, you're on the air. Hello.
Hello.
Hi. What is your first...
Robert. Let's say ex-operator from the military, technology retrieval.
An ex-operator from technology retrieval. You mean like from crashed extraterrestrial crafts?
Technology.
Well, I repeat, from crashed extraterrestrial crafts?
Well, we pick up technology. I don't want to go into details. That what I'm looking at is what we're discussing is the possibility of the end of the world.
Yes. Would they be cylindrical crafts that you retrieve this technology from?
These crafts could range in different shapes.
Okay. All right. The end of the world.
Yes. Not exactly according to DARPA, because I don't believe they're totally correct, but they're on the money.
Does DARPA have a view on the end of the world?
Oh, definitely. They just don't disclose it to the public.
Well, let's hear it.
The possibility is high. Let's say we will probably enter a serious problem with the Ice Age, asteroids, war, and possibly germ warfare for population. Well, not population control, but let's say the possibility because of, let's say, broken facilities that certain viruses and germs would probably be exposed to the public after such great devastation.
Why do I have this feeling that you're telling us more what you know as opposed to what you're guessing?
Well, I'd say I lost my ticket to a facility, so I'm looking for a new home.
Hmm.
Because I'd prefer to at least let the world know instead of let them be blindsided. I prefer someone to be prepared, look and try to prepare for the worst, but hope for the best.
If somebody were to ask you your opinion of whether extraterrestrial craft have crashed on Earth, what would your opinion be?
Well, I'd say yes. And also, my grandfather, when he dealt with intelligence as a biomedical scientist during World War II, he actually told me that when I was a child, they exist. So I already knew beforehand.
Well, I guess, again, I was referring to your earlier stated the job that you just left, you know, retrieval.
Doesn't always have to be a crash.
Mm-hmm. That's interesting. Doesn't always have to be a crash.
You also have to look at, let's say, when you're dealing with, let's say, another nation, mutual agreements.
Yes.
And sometimes you have to abide by the other nation's agreements in that society because they're a little bit more powerful and touchy about those things.
Uh-huh. Okay, why don't you get in touch with me privately by email, and we'll have an ongoing discussion. Those are interesting people. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello.
Hi, Art. This is Mark, a.k.a. Tab Webmaster from Fantastic Forum.
Hey there, Mark. How you doing?
All right. Calling from Lima, Ohio. I just had a follow-up for you on that show you did on broadband over power lines.
Oh, yes.
I wrote several emails to several different people, and I got one back from our state senator.
And what did he say?
Well, he just basically said, thanks for contacting me, and if the issue comes up on the Senate floor, that he would be sure to vote against it.
Well, I wrote to Harry Reid, who is one of my senators here in Nevada, and I also got an answer, and Harry and I do know each other a little bit. I interviewed Harry on the air, and he gave me a pretty good answer, so I'm hoping, you know, it may be that BPL is inevitable. But it also may be that they will clean it up so that it doesn't clobber the public services that otherwise are going to be clobbered. So cross fingers, knock on wood, you know?
I just thought it was the stupidest thing I'd ever heard of.
Well, it is stupid. It's absolutely idiotic. When you consider all of the possible ways that the Internet can be delivered, and what really should be going on, of course, is that we put fiber to people's homes, and then that's the end of the story, period.
Exactly.
But no, and then there's microwave, and there's a cable will deliver Internet, and there's a ISDN, and all these different ways you can get Internet, and they've got to go radiate it off the damn power lines and destroy communications. Yes.
Would it be possible to get Jim Haney back on?
Of course it would be possible. Jim Haney is president of the ARRL. We had him on once. We'll have him on again. We're trying to do whatever we can to get people to understand that other nations around the world have thrown this idiotic technology the hell out of their country, including the Japanese, who know what they're doing. And they said it's ridiculous. It interferes with communications. It's just too much. We don't need it. Out! Bolt! and we should do exactly the same thing or tame it to the point that it does not destroy emergency communications across America. Come on. West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hi.
Yeah, I have a comment to make in regards to all the talk about the Gulf War that nobody seems to be talking about, and that is the economic arrangement Halliburton actually has and the details behind that in regards to this war. Everybody talked about this war being a war that never ended because the war on terrorism is not actually a country, so there would be no way to determine when this war ended. And it's actually set up to where there's only like a 1.2% profit margin, but it's a guaranteed 1.2, so as much as they up the ante of the actual cost of the war, the more money they're making, which is guaranteed.
Well, I'm sure that's true, but you know, you brought up a very good point. How are we going to know when the war on terror is over? How are we going to know that we won? I mean, is it like cancer where 5 years have to go by and nothing happens, and then you say, well, probably we got it, or what?
That's the way you have to see the way this economic arrangement is reflective and emblematic of what this war really means. That these kind of companies, these transnational corporations, are going to get set up with these and never-ending accounts. They're going to be low profit margins, so people aren't going to be very suspicious because 1.4% profit margin isn't very high unless it's guaranteed and it never ends, which it means it's just a continuous cycle, which leads into slavery, as far as I'm concerned, in the final outcome.
Well, even the New York Times recently admitted that they were deficient in the way they examined the evidence that they reported on with regard to the so-called weapons of mass destruction, which, of course, was the main stated reason for invading Iraq. That's the New York Times saying officially, really, from their point of view, look, we didn't do our job. We didn't look at enough facts in our reporting of the whole thing. Pretty amazing, huh? New York Times. West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hi. Hello? Hello, hello? Going once, going twice, gone. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hi.
Yeah, I have a question.
Okay.
Are we on the air right now?
You're on the air. Turn your radio off.
All right.
I'll wait while you do that. Otherwise, you will be confused.
Yes, I have a question.
All right, turn your radio off, please.
Turn it off.
Off.
All right.
No, that's up.
Off.
Yes, off.
All right. I got a question. Do you think the world is going to end by nuclear warfare?
Well, that wouldn't be my first choice. My first choice would be a little bug, like I was saying. The sound of the end of the world will be, choo. That'll be the beginning of the end.
And I heard that missiles, that they have nuclear weapons that can get to the U.S. from China in 7 seconds. Is that true?
No.
That's not?
No.
What do I want?
There are no missiles that can go from China to the U.S. in 7 seconds. No.
7 seconds?
No.
There is not?
No.
And what about aliens? How do you feel
25,
about aliens?
26 minutes, yeah.
And aliens, do you think they exist?
Do I think aliens exist?
Mm-hmm.
More than probably, yes.
Why is that?
Well, because there's so many planets and so many suns and so many systems, for there not to be intelligent life out there seems nigh on to impossible to me.
And I also heard that this guy had a theory that the planets are all cells. Every planet is cells. The sun is a cell. And that we're just we're genes and a body, a big body.
Yeah, I've heard that theory too. That we're just part of some gigantic, greater thing. But, you know, I'm kind of a pragmatist, and I think the first most likely solution is the one you ought to look at. And that is, we are here, and we don't appear to be part of something larger. I mean, we could be a speck on a boot of a galactic giant. But I think probably we are who we appear to be. West of the Rockies, you appear to be on the air. Hello.
Oh, goodness. Hello, Mr. Bell. How are you this evening?
I'm just fine.
Fantastic. Wow, I just third time I tried tonight. Cool. Let me see here briefly.
Where'd you go? Are you there?
I have a feeling there's all kinds of wonderfulness out there kind of watching over us, and I think we have to kind of define what we think end of the world is actually going to mean.
So you think there are benign or even helpful aliens watching over our every move?
I think
Or you think it's God?
Well, I think that there are helpful benign spirits out there watching over us. That's part of their job. Whether I'm right or wrong, I have no clue.
Do you think then, just before the Russian president, in a moment of madness, presses the button, those benign spirits would grab his arm and stop him?
That's a good question. I guess it kind of gets back to what's supposed to be happening with us. If it's meant to be, I guess. That almost sounds like a cop-out, but I think that if it's meant to be, it's meant to be. I'm not going to really spend too much time worrying about it, so I don't know. One of the things I wanted to say to you was...
Very, very quickly.
I'm sorry. Thank you very much for helping me get an A in my computer class. I did a presentation on BPL.
Did you really?
Yeah, I want to thank you for
helping
me
get an A.
And you
got an A, too.
Yeah. And there are ways of providing BPL. I learned, I can't remember what they are, but without the interference.
With notches, if they get the right notches in there. We got a break for the hour. Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
We'll be right back. From the high desert in the middle of the night, I'm Art Bell.
Talk with Art Bell. Call the wildcard line at area code 775-727-1295. The first-time caller line is area code 775-727-1222. To talk with Art Bell from east of the Rockies, call toll-free at 800-825-5033. From west of the Rockies, call Art at 800-618-8255. International callers may reach Art Bell by calling your in-country Sprint access number, pressing option 5. And dialing toll-free 800-893-0903. From coast to coast and worldwide on the Internet, this is Coast to Coast AM with Art Bell.
Man, it's incredible. I'm telling you, the storms raging through the Middle West right now, actually, they're moving kind of to the southeast. You can go to a place called lightningstorm.com. That's lightningstorm.com. You can get a map. It'll show you where the lightning strikes are, and there is an absolutely vicious, it just goes flying over so many states, getting ready to move actually out of the Midwest into some of the East Coast border states, right on the Virginia line, for example. And it extends virtually from Texas right on up to the border down below the Great Lakes, a great big, just take a look at it. It's all in red. You'll see the affected areas in red. Absolutely incredible. Becky from Boise, Idaho, suggests that the end of the world will come when terrorists, Becky says, plant nuclear bombs inside the geysers of the supervolcano throughout Idaho, Montana, and Wyoming. The nukes then would set off a cataclysmic eruption destroying the entire world. And that's how Becky thinks it will happen. First time caller line, you are on the air. Hi.
Hi, my name is Jim, and I'm in Everett, Washington, listening to you on KVI 570.
All right, welcome to the program.
And I'm very, very inspired by you for years now. I've been listening to you on the watching stuff on the internet and listening to you on the radio, and I sure appreciate what you do for us out here.
Thank you, sir.
And I listened to you talk about the cadaver or whatever it is out in Yellowstone.
Oh, the caldera, yes.
Caldera. I'm a little nervous.
That's all right.
But anyway, I think that the cataclysmic eruptions and stuff that are starting to happen around here. I'm in the Pacific North Rim here, you know, like the Rim of Fire here.
Oh, yes.
And I feel that there's been a lot of activity, seismic activity, that's very scary, especially when mankind has used a lot of tested a lot of nuclear bombs and stuff out in the deserts and stuff. And I just feel that with man...
I saw an article the other day. Now, it may not be true, but I saw an article indicating that the United States is considering resuming underground testing.
Oh, my God.
Now, maybe that's not true, but I did see an article.
Now what's really another thing that ties it all in is that if it is something to do with terrorism that ever ends the world or begins the end of the world, whether it's with germ warfare or whatever, or bombs or whatever... if they interfere with ham radio and shortwave radio reception with that new high-frequency use of power transmission lines,
BPL,
the government will have an easier way. Our government, if there is any conspiracy theories that may be true, I don't know. I'd like not to think that they're true. I really do believe our government does not want us to know what they're trying to hide from us.
Whatever it is they're hiding, you can be sure they don't want us to know it. That's why they're hiding it.
And that's why they'll allow possibly to use the transmission lines, because they want us not to be able to use shortwave and the other ways with ham radio. That's the best basics of all transmissions is ham, right?
I'm not beyond considering that. Oh, sure. I mean, when a hurricane happens or when something devastates any area, and literally all communications are cut off, you will always hear the first reports coming out of any devastated area by amateur radio operators, hams. That's just fact. And I'm sure if you think back of the reports of the terrible hurricanes where communications have totally gone down, everything has gone down, you'll frequently hear recordings from hams reporting on what's happened. Because for whatever reason, it's the only communication available. So to take that resource and to squander it to get internet over electrical transmission lines borders on insanity. Unless they can come up with a way to do it that won't disrupt communications, they're out of their minds. A wild card line, you're on the air. Hi.
Hello?
Hello.
Hello? Yeah, okay. I wasn't sure if I was on there yet.
That's you.
Yeah, this is Mark. I'm calling from Liberal, Kansas.
Oh, Liberal, Kansas. Yes, Mark.
Yeah, I'm picking you up on WOAI out of San Antonio.
That is a big one.
1,200.
One of the biggest in the world.
Oh, yes. I was going to ask you before I give you my take on what I think might happen as far as the end of the world is concerned.
Sure.
But you brought up something yesterday, and I wasn't able to catch your whole program about... why it is that we're so fascinated with bad news and not with good news.
That's right.
And I think what it is, there's inherent in every one of us the need to feel elevated. And in many instances, we don't get that need fulfilled by, you know, being in a position to better ourselves. So we always go by comparison by seeing the demise of somebody else.
So you're saying that seeing the demise or somebody else's troubles makes us feel better.
Yeah, it's not like you're saying that per word.
I'm willing to consider you're absolutely right, but what does that say about us?
Well, nature puts that there, and I think it's by design.
It's like when someone stubs their toe. And
right.
Really badly. And they're yelling and screaming, "Ah, my God!"
Well, it's not...
What
it's
reaction
not,
do you have? You laugh.
I understand what you're saying, but...
Isn't it the same thing?
Not exactly.
Well, sort of.
Somebody hurt.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is the same thing. You are laughing at their hurt, and you can't help yourself.
Well, it's not, well, not quite like that, but there's a sort of a thing, you know, what, it's like, for instance, give you an example, you hear these trials and, like, these celebrities that are being on trial, you know, there's a certain
same
satisfaction of envy.
Same thing.
That,
yeah,
and they feel elevated knowing that these
yep.
people are finally getting what they, you know, they have this inherent feeling, they feel like they got what they deserve.
Same thing, buddy. It's
yeah.
all the same thing. Other people's misery and pain. That you've really answered the question properly, and I appreciate it.
Yeah, anyway, but another thing that I want to, okay, the thing about the end of the world, I think what the deal is, realistically, if you look at nature, the natural thing is adversity is the fuel for change, and it strengthens, you know, if you challenge your immune system to expose your immune system and temper it, it strengthens. And same thing when you break a bone. When you break a bone,
well, that's a very controversial concept. I know doctors who say, I took that to my doctor. I said to my doctor, doesn't it, when you get colds and flu, it really strengthens you. He said, bull. Actually, he said the rest of it, too, because he said it's not true. You get a virus, you build immunities to that particular one, doesn't protect you against any others. So, and there's thousands of them out there. He said you're much smarter to just stay the hell away from it.
Right. But if you look at it further, if you extend it out further, you know, it's like forest fires, it's first forestation, and I think it's nature's design that we impact the environment. And then the environment reacts back toward us, it strengthens our resolve to change. And it's like with the rise of fuel prices, for instance, over in the Middle East, you know, in decreasing production to increase demand to raise the prices, it forces us to be innovative and try to do something differently. Where otherwise, if we would be satisfied staying right where we're at, we would stagnate.
I wonder if OPEC watches us. And by that, what do I mean? In other words, they raise the price of oil, right? And they sit back and they watch. What does America do? Well, look, they're still all traveling on Memorial Day, so they're paying the price. But then they raise it a little higher, and a little higher, and a little higher, which is what we've been getting to the ridiculous point, right? And then Americans begin doing things like putting in bulbs that last 3 or 4 or 5 or 6 years. We had one last 6 years, just finally burned out the other day. Special bulbs, they begin to save on gasoline, begin to not take so many trips. Then I'm sure at OPEC they go, we have gone too far. And then they back the price down a few cents to the point where we again relax. So they probably watch us very carefully. And when we begin to do energy efficient things, then they back down the price of oil a little bit to put us back to sleep. And then, you know, we go through another cycle. Well, the pendulum now has swung over to we're starting to think real hard about getting smaller cars. We're starting to do a lot of things. So I'm sure OPEC is sitting there going, better cut it back a little. East of the Rockies, you're on the air.
Hi, Art.
Hello.
I have a question. It's referring to that recording of the Russian scientist.
Yes. Yes.
I've been reading a lot on the internet and stuff, and I was reading a lot of information on how there could be civilization within the Earth's core. And I was wondering if you yourself thought that maybe it wasn't this, like, demonic sound, but maybe it was more of real people inside the core.
Well, if you really want my view, I think that if that, let me put it this way to you, if that recording is real, that's a pretty big if, but if that recording is real, then it sounds like hell. I mean, it really does sound like hell. It doesn't, if it's an underground city, they're not having a good time.
Right. So besides the recording, do you think there's a possibility that there are areas in the core of the Earth that there could be civilization?
Let me think that one over, all right? God, that's a hard, really hard question to answer. Could there be within the Earth hollowed areas? Could there be within the Earth life? Yeah, I can't really sit here and say no, because of course there could be. We know perhaps less about the inner parts of our Earth than we know about outer space. We know less about inner parts of the Earth than we know about our very own moon. So, yes, you'd have to say it. Maybe. West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hi.
Art.
Yes.
Miller from San Diego.
Yes, sir.
How you doing?
I'm doing all right, but I can barely hear you, so you're going to have to put those lips up against the phone and really dedicate yourself.
Oh, I'm sorry. Two theories on the end of the world.
Yes.
Galactic superstorms.
Galactic superstorms.
Galactic superstorms. Yes, I saw your movie, and what happened, you know, the Big Bang Theory?
Yes.
The universe expanding. What will happen is, imagine yourself standing outside, looking up at the sky,
mm-hmm.
and all of a sudden you see a huge galaxy on the sky, and it's approaching.
Oh, you mean colliding galaxies? Oh, that would be very bad.
And all of a sudden, you're just standing outside, and
yes.
this galaxy just swallows Earth and all the planets in this galaxy, and you're on your way into the black hole.
Yeah. Or how about Earth drives itself into a black hole?
Yeah.
Or a black hole gets us. Then that's it. Then all life would end.
That would be the end of the world.
In such an instant that it'd be like that. I mean, it would be over for everybody and everything all at once. A black hole would devour all.
And if superstorms, you know, are on Earth, why wouldn't they be on space, you know, in the universe?
Well, it'd be a storm of types. If you had a collision of galaxies, there would be incredible things that would occur. And you have to wonder. I mean, on the one hand, you would think that astronomers would be most aware of any other galaxy getting close to us, and I would certainly hope that would be true. But there's a little edge of the unknown there that they just might not somehow see it coming. And there wouldn't be time for a Senate investigation about how come they didn't afterwards either. International Line, you're on the air.
Hey, Art, how you doing?
Okay.
I'm calling from Vancouver, Canada, and one thing I want to say, because you just brought it up, and I just want to add this really quickly about gas prices.
Yes.
What are you guys paying in the States, about $2 a gallon?
Hold on. If Ramona would be kind enough to come in here, she observed gas prices downtown today here in metropolitan Pahrump, Nevada, and she will know exactly what it is, but it's getting up towards some ridiculous figure. How many? $2.48 a gallon.
Just to put things into perspective.
Doesn't that put it in perspective? $2.48 a gallon.
We're paying $1 a liter. There's 4 liters to a gallon. So we're paying roughly about $4 a gallon.
Where'd you go?
I'm right here.
All right. So you're paying, you're saying the equivalent in Canada of $4
a gallon. I just wanted to throw that out. But,
how do you feel about paying $4 a gallon?
Terrible. Absolutely terrible. I got this email from a friend of mine saying, don't buy gas from Shell and from, we have this thing called Petro-Canada up here because they're the two largest gas sellers, and then you can buy from everyone else.
I kind of think it's like I said. I think OPEC watches, and if we start doing things that are seriously showing we're concerned about it going too far, then they bump it back a little bit, so we go back to sleep. Really, I do believe that.
We're taken for a ride, that's for sure.
Yeah.
I wanted to talk about the end of the world.
Of course.
But I wanted to talk about the talk about the end of the world. Now, I basically have some comments, and I mean absolutely no disrespect, because I have...
That's all right. You want to disrespect? Go ahead.
Okay, excellent. Because I'm sitting here wondering, as I was driving home, listening to you, just whether we're doing anything positive with talking about the end of the world and really putting so much energy into that.
And do you hear how many people have opinions? I mean, nearly everybody does.
Oh, I know. And I almost have my own, but I almost don't really want to think about it. And I ask myself, am I just being naive? Why don't I just put some energy into thinking about it? But then it's almost perpetuating the state of fear, but it isn't. But
so you're going to suggest the possibility that even considering the end of the world may in itself bring it on?
No. No, I
thought about that.
I didn't, but just in answering your question, my first reaction is no, I don't think that. I just think that there's not the happier things to talk about, but you had another caller that...
Give me a happy thing to talk about.
Well, in Canada, we have the Calgary Flames going to the Stanley Cup Finals.
But to see them, you got to pay $4 a gallon.
Yeah, that's not happy. But I don't think $4 a gallon is going to bring the end of the world. But you had another...
I can tell you it would down here.
There's one more thing. You just had a caller a while ago talking about warnings and different warnings, I mean, in Revelation and just the different sort of warnings about that could bring the end of the world.
Yeah.
And I asked myself, well, what can we do about these, you know, what can we do about, as your last caller said, about a solar superstorm or about a big rock?
Not a damn thing.
We can't do a damn thing.
Nothing.
Exactly, except for, you know, if you're of the religious persuasion, you probably should have done something already about that. But that's just sort of my point. You know, we're putting so much energy into things that we really can't control. And I just hope that, you know, we're not really getting down about it because nothing you can do about it. So just enjoy life.
Well, that's right. Everybody here is happy about it. They're suggesting we enjoy life right up until the rock, boom, smashes into the planet, destroys continents, pushes people.
I'm as happy as I could be paying $4 a gallon.
Are you really?
Well, if I, you know, I'm not happy about that.
You know, I mean, these guys are rolling over you in Canada like you're nothing. $4 a gallon. I mean, how can you even survive at $4 a gallon?
Well, I think about... there's a huge percentage. About 40% of what we pay in gas prices is tax.
Yes.
And so the oil company is to blame, but you know, also our government for taxing us.
But it's like you're saying, well, hey, bless them. No.
I'm not saying bless them.
Well,
I'm
you're sort of saying it. You're saying I'm happy things.
No, I didn't say I was happy paying $4 a gallon. I just said, in more along the lines of what we're talking about with the end of the world.
Yes.
Happy, you know, with the end of the world coming because I can't do anything about it.
Huh. Okay.
That's basically it.
Well, all right. Have a good time and take a drive.
I'm not going to take a drive.
Later.
I'll take the bus. Thanks.
You see, that's how it changed your life. West of the Rockies, you're on the air.
This is Olin in Culver City, California.
What's up, Olin?
Well, last night, Robert Felix told us that volcanoes are heating up the ocean and causing the heavy rainstorms.
That's what he said.
Now, somebody needs to research the Little Ice Age in the 1600s to see if it was caused by volcanoes, or if there was a large number of earthquakes.
Well, that's what he's urging, that people go out and do that research to find out if it is volcanoes.
Well, and if there was alignment of the planets and whether it was worldwide or localized.
Sure. Look at everything and try and decide what might have been the cause, because those who don't learn about the past are doomed to repeat it, right? So whatever happened once or twice or 10 times previously can happen again. And if it does turn out that, you know, every 11 to 13,000 years... something mysterious comes along, whatever it may be, and utterly destroys every living thing on the planet. I mean, that's it, more or less.
Wildcard line at area code 775-727-1295. The first time caller line is area code 775-727-1222. To talk with Art Bell from east of the Rockies, call toll free at 800-825-5033. From west of the Rockies, call 800-618-8255. International callers may reach Art by calling your in-country Sprint access number, pressing option 5, and dialing toll free 800-893-0903. From coast to coast,
and worldwide on the internet. This is Coast to Coast AM with Art Bell.
I'm beginning to get the sense that a lot of you are shocked that so many people readily have their view of how the world is going to end. Absolutely shocked. And yet it's true. Nearly everybody has something to say about how it's all going to end. Once again, we enter the world of the unknown. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hi.
Yes, hello, sir.
Hello.
This is Keith in Hamilton, Ontario.
Yo, Keith.
Opposite to a previous Canadian caller, one can't help but notice there's no good in this world. There's only bad. I mean, all, you know, possessions we accumulate or, you know, marriage, none of it comes with us when we're gone.
Well, how do you know? Maybe it does. Well, maybe it does.
I don't think
so. It depends on your view of things. Maybe it does.
Yeah. I'm assuming all these wars, health problems, food problems, depression, floods, strife.
Yeah.
The economy. I'm just wondering, did God give up on us and hand this world over to Satan?
Well, sometimes you have to wonder about that, don't you? I mean, you are right about things you tick off, and there's much more. It seems like a world of misery out there, doesn't it? But
yeah.
Maybe it's all a big test.
It seems like we're like an ant farm, you know what I mean? And somebody can overview us. You know, it's easy for us to look at ants and say,
Do you feel like an ant in an ant farm?
Sort of.
Yeah.
And there's like this overlord. Yeah.
Yeah.
What do you think?
I don't know. It's not a satisfying vision for me. I'm not saying it couldn't be, but once again, it's not a satisfying vision at all. Imagining that we're some part of this, you know, somebody's Saturday night out entertainment.
Yeah.
Ooh, look at them. They're all going to work now. Millions and millions of the little things. Look at them.
Yeah, waving people into dying and everything like that,
That's right. All orchestrated from above or, well, maybe below.
Yeah. All right, good to talk to you, Art.
All right, take care, sir. Yeah. West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Cheerio.
Yes. It's about time that you open the mind to the Lord.
Oh, my God. Here
we go. I have to say, because I'm going to set you straight tonight. I have a few things to say, and I know you have been keeping
me out
here.
I have a few things I want to say to you, too. I've been hearing from your aunt or some relation of yours by email, and they've been downright absolutely insulting emails.
He is a disciple of mine, and I will not... Since I will not dirty myself by getting on the devil's eye, the pornography machine.
That's
the internet.
A disciple of yours?
She works for me.
Yeah, I knew
She's
it.
She's a disciple of me.
Yeah.
Yes, Edna Pringle.
Edna Pringle.
You leave her alone, and you've been sending her.
I'm objecting. I'm telling you, Edna's emails are very insulting. And I do believe that, I'm sure that Edna is connected genetically to you without question.
How dare you insult my family's genetic lineage? Well, you're trying to get me off on a Darwinism path, and I'm not going there. I have a few things to set straight tonight, as the Lord has brought down to me the command to tell you a few things.
Edna's just
so I want to start with that simple
missing a card as you are.
Excuse me?
I said Edna's just as much missing a card out of the deck as you are.
Well, that all depends on your point of view, which is the point of view of the devil. And that simp before us, God has not given up on us. God is angry.
How do you know my point of view is that of the devil? How do you know that?
Well, when you happen to have direct communications with the Lord, you know a few things. Okay, Mr. Bell?
So you're telling me that God,
my point?
God has told you this personally. Is that right, you and Edna?
Your God, my God, the God of the universe, yes.
Communicates.
He has confided in me. I'm God's general in the war against pornography, which is what I want to touch upon tonight.
The man, by the way, it calls himself J.C. You didn't even give your name.
Do I have to give my name? J.C.
No.
Webster III.
Yeah, yeah.
Now listen to me.
I'm listening.
I want to talk about the porno industry.
Why?
That is responsible for the atrocities in Iraq. And I'm going to tell you why.
What?
The reason They're responsible. They are the ones who need to be held responsible, not our brave men and women in our glorious administration. It is the pornography industry that has filled their minds with debauchery and perversion that brought them. And it's another reason why we shouldn't have women in combat, because they go completely mad. And those porno pictures that we saw coming out of Iraq, not that those people didn't deserve it, but they were influenced. They were polluted by the porno industry. It is their fault. We want to hang a hook on it, someone. It is the porno industry.
Somebody ought to hang you on a hook. You know what? Where do you come up with a connection between the porno industry and the war in Iraq?
Well, did you take a look at those pictures?
Yeah.
They looked pretty pornographic to me.
Well, they looked...
I'm talking about the so-called abuses at the prison.
But the pornographic...
They look more like a porno party to me, like a frat party.
Well...
And it's because the minds of our soldiers, our brave men and women, have been polluted by the Hollywood filth, the sewer that is Hollywood, which is pouring its pornography out into the culture with Marilyn Manson and all the other pornographers that are out there. That's the majority of my time is spent fighting pornography.
You know, as hyped up as you get about stuff, I'm frankly surprised you're still alive. I wondered what happened to you. Now, I kept hearing from Edna. Really vicious emails, I might add, again. But, I mean, here you are.
Because your listeners have sent nothing but pornography to her email address.
Oh, is that right?
Ever since the posting.
Well, maybe it has something to do with Edna's attitude, like yours.
Well, Edna's a good lady who knows her place, who walks behind the man and keeps her mouth shut. Her women need to get in the kitchen and off the battlefield. We wouldn't be having atrocities and humiliations like that. And they're trying to pin it on our wonderful administration, the administration that God put
I hope there. That Edna is listening to this right now.
Edna is in the other room, what she has been told. I have told her she is, in fact, Edna right now is finishing up some of the dishes from the compound.
And when Edna's done with that, Edna's going to finish you up, JC.
What? I don't know what you are trying to insinuate there, but Edna is a godly woman. But I will not touch the filth internet, the filth devil's eye computer. I allow her
to do it for you.
Woman,
so you direct her, one of your minion, to do your dirty work. That's nice.
Listen, the internet is basically a pornography machine. It's the devil's playground.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
What we have to do is have to fight him on his own territory. But I'm not going to sowing myself and dirty myself.
So you mean you wouldn't even put your hands on a keyboard?
I will not put my hands on a computer keyboard.
You will not embrace a Pentium chip with love and tenderness.
I don't know what that is, but I do know that women were commissioned by God to do the lowly work in this world.
Yes.
And that is something that Edna needs to do. And that's another thing I want to get back to, is the fact that women need to know the role. When we let women and homosexuals
Edna's going to take care of you.
Excuse me?
I said Edna's going to take care of you. Your fate is sealed. When Edna, I'm surprised Edna hasn't come in from the other room and laid one of those frying pans right across your no doubt bald head.
Let me tell you something. Oh, you constantly advocate violence.
That was not advocating violence. That was being surprised that it hasn't occurred yet.
What hasn't occurred?
That she hadn't come in there and flatten you with a frying pan.
Why would she want to do something like that?
For what you just said about women.
Her wretched self.
Her wretched self?
That's right. I saved her from the boiling pits of sewage where all of your listeners are going, by the way. Yeah. I wanted all your weak-willed, degenerate, decadent European listeners.
That does it. That's it. Well, there's a voice from the past. He hadn't been around in a while. Edna, he's all yours, baby. First time caller line, you're on the air.
Are you there?
Well, in body and spirit for the most part.
I have to tell you that I'm going to a boiling pit of sewage.
Boiling pit, he always swims in the boiling pit of sewage.
My National Guard unit's on the way to Iraq. We're getting ready to leave here pretty soon. So.
I see. Do you think that you've been dispatched there in some mindless way by the porno industry?
No, I don't. No. And I have to tell you, we have numerous females in our unit.
Yes.
I'm a medic, and I have to tell you that there's none more compassionate that takes care of soldiers than the females in our unit. So it's kind of a godsend to have them going with us.
Well, my guess right now is Edna's totally flipping out, and he's just lying in a pile of his own ick in the middle of the rug.
I wanted to tell you, Art, went and saw the movie on Thursday at midnight.
Oh, the day after tomorrow.
Yes, I did.
You got into a midnight showing.
I did, and it was, the theater was almost sold out, not quite,
yep.
But the movie was absolutely terrific. I can't comment enough on how good the movie was.
It was
how good
terrific.
The special effects were, and it was awesome.
Right, without actually being able to talk about the plot, which we can't, because that's not fair to people, you can say it grabs you from the minute you get in that theater, and it doesn't let go of you.
Until the very end, that's
yeah.
right.
Yeah.
And it kind of leaves you with just a wow feeling.
Yep.
It was one of those movies that I think I would have to pay to go back and see a second time.
Well, thank you. It's exciting that it is doing so well, and above all, I hope it starts people thinking about our environment.
I had a point for you. You were talking earlier about in Canada, you have $4 for a liter of gasoline.
Yeah, do you hear that happy Canadian there?
Well, you know, I guess the thing is, if you think about it, if you're a naturalist,
yeah.
you would be ecstatic with the prices of the gas right now because people can't afford to drive.
That's right.
You know,
but it's going to cause an economic collapse in this country if it keeps going up at $4 a gallon. Do you know what would happen if our gas suddenly went to $4 a gallon here in America?
We would go under.
We couldn't afford to live. The price of getting products from point A to point B would rise so quickly. You would have such an economic disaster in this country. So,
don't you think the same thing has happened with the price of milk and the price of cheese and dairy products this summer? They say that a scoop of ice cream is going to cost $4 sometime this summer. So, I had a question for you. You were talking earlier about germs. And about how you think that germs are going to be the end of us. How so? How specifically do you think that's going to happen?
Well, I think that in level 4 and 5, level what is it, level 4 biolabs or 5, whatever
level
it is,
five.
The highest level, whatever, probably secret levels, you know, above 5, whatever. Yeah, they're developing the very worst, and then trying to figure out ways to counter it. They'd almost be negligent if they were not doing that.
Right.
Since it's an enemy we're going to face, and one accident from that group, or maybe the other group that, you know, terrorists, I mean, think about it for a second. A lot of people have died trying to express their views as terrorists, right? And so if they had it, would they use it? Answer, in 2 seconds flat.
Right.
Right? So it's got to be something to think about.
It sounds like a good thing to think about. Somebody mentioned earlier about the universe expanding and galaxies colliding into each other.
Right.
You think it's a possibility that maybe the galaxy expands to a point and then it all sucks back in? Is that a theory?
Oh yes. Well, it was certainly a theory for a very long time. It's kind of being discarded now, and that would be the universe that expands and expands and then, like a rubber band, reaches the point where it begins to snap back. And for some reason, cosmologists have been abandoning that theory in favor of the ever-expanding universe. That appears to be the most popular right now. Others believe it's a static universe. We argue about the very nature of things that are around us. In other words, we are not sure. There are just good theories out there, some better than others. Wildcard Line, you're on the air. Hi.
Hi, Art Bell.
Yes, sir.
My name's Corey. I'm calling from Denver.
Yes, sir.
630 KHOW. I just kind of wanted to let you know my prediction on the end of the Earth.
Ah, the way it will all end, yes.
I think you're kind of on the right point where, you know, where you said the diseases. My opinion is it's all in the hands of mankind, meaning I think we're going to end the Earth by terrorist attacks, violent hate crimes, that kind of thing, long before any meteor hits the Earth or aliens attack us. That's my opinion on the end of the Earth.
Okay. Well, you at least at first agree with me, and I do think that a germ, an indefensible little designer germ would do the trick. They just flat couldn't stop it, and it would be a very fast killer. And only the mind of man, because nature does not design, at least up until now, the perfect organism. It always misses some. There are always some with a natural immunity. So nature doesn't create the perfect killing organism. But man, oh man, might. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hi.
Hi, Art.
Hello.
Tom, Lafayette, Indiana, WLS.
Yes, Tom.
Okay. Instead of commenting on the end of the world, I thought I'd give you a comment on how your world will end.
Okay.
You see, somebody's going to call you up and they're going to go, here, kitty, 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 kitty. And then the headlines tomorrow will read, Art Bell killed and kept, stampede.
You know, you're really right on the money, sir. We think, we don't know, but we think that, I mean, all of our cats have come to us pretty much out of, you know, just out of the desert. And there's this secret little sign out there that flashes from time to time. Cat lovers. And so that wandering cats just ambling by in the desert somehow know there, that's the house where the suckers live. And if I go and I hang out there for a little while, I'll have it made. And we think there's some kind of sign like that out there. First time caller line, you're on the air. Hi.
Hi.
Yes. You're on the air.
Okay. This is Dave from Iowa.
Hi, Dave.
Hi, Art. A little nervous.
I can tell. Just relax, take a deep breath, and think about what you wanted to say.
Okay. I was calling not just on the end of the world, but on the end of America, the destruction of America.
Mm-hmm.
Do you remember when you had Kathleen Keating on?
Yes, very well.
Must have been about a year and a half ago.
Mm-hmm.
And she was talking about Bible code.
Oh, yes.
And she said it was in there that the destruction of America was in there.
I have not decided whether I am grasping as truth the Bible code. I haven't made up my mind about it yet at all.
Okay.
How about you?
I don't know one way or the other either. I'm kind of like you, but she said in there that the reason why America was going to be destroyed was because of abortion. And you said, oh, wow, that's something. And you just, bam, you just went to another subject. You didn't want to tackle that at all.
Well, that is something. I mean, it depends on how you feel about abortion, but millions of souls, I mean, if you take the strict constructionist religious point of view, those are all souls, and if you take that point of view, then, hey, that might be it.
If you read the Old Testament, this is the reason why Israel was destroyed, why God had Israel destroyed. They did not have abortion, but what they had was, well, the people got into sexual immorality. They had a bunch of kids they didn't know what to do with.
Well, what about China, sir? Where, you know, if it's a girl baby and they don't want a girl baby, they drown it like a puppy.
Right.
No difference there, right?
Right. But China does not consider itself a Christian nation.
So,
or
I mean,
they did not consider it.
No, wait a minute. So then if China is not a Christian nation, then they're not committing the same act. Is that right?
Well, no. What I'm saying is judgment always comes to the house of God first.
Well.
I mean, meaning that China will eventually be judged, but I believe we will be judged first. We will be destroyed first.
I see.
So, but my question...
Very quickly, because we're coming to the end of the
Okay,
end.
My question, and I've thought about this a lot, is what... If you're a born-again Christian and you're trying to get America to not have abortion anymore, what's it going to take? What is it going to take in order for America to turn and say, okay,
I don't know, but I'll tell you what won't do it, bombing abortion clinics and killing doctors and things like that, that won't do it. The only thing that will do it will be changing the hearts and the minds of Americans. And I can assure you those kinds of acts don't change minds at all. In fact, what they probably do is harden hearts. So depending upon what you want to get done, I suggest you think about that.
Call the Wildcard line at area code 775-727-1295. The first time caller line is area code 775-727-1222. To talk with Art Bell from east of the Rockies, call toll free at 800-825-5033. From west of the Rockies, call Art at 800-618-8255. International callers may reach Art Bell by calling your in-country Sprint access number, pressing option 5, and dialing toll-free 800-893-0903. From coast to coast and worldwide on the Internet, this is Coast to Coast AM with Art Bell.
Top of the morning, open lines, unscreened, anything happens kind of talk radio. That's what we're all about on this very early, what's Monday already? Actually, isn't it? Monday morning. But that's all right, because you've got this long weekend off. You know, it just occurred to me I should have asked JC how he thought the world was going to end. Whether it would be the porn industry, probably, huh? Or perhaps more personally, Edna with a frying pan. Boing! First time caller line, you're on the air. Hello. Hello.
I'm here.
Good. I'm here.
Oh, finally.
Yes.
Hi. It's nice to talk to you.
Yes, sir. Good to have you.
Here's my take on End of the World.
Yes.
That crazy lady like Edna with the frying pan.
Yeah.
I got a laugh out of that.
All right.
That was almost hilarious. You should have cut him off in about the first 3 seconds.
Think so?
Uh-huh.
If I had, you never would have got to the boiling pit of sewage.
Well, as a matter of fact, that's my line of work. Infrastructure rehab. That's exactly what my line of work.
I see. All right. Already I know more than I want to. So the end of the world from your lower perspective.
My boiling sewage.
Yes.
All right, here's my take, man. It's going to be germ warfare.
It's going to be germ warfare. Well,
and the food chain.
Yeah, in the food chain. Great.
Yeah, as it is, there's a lot of germs and a lot of stuff already being put into the food processes now. It's unbelievable.
Sometimes probably from the boiling pits of sewage.
Believe it or not, everything goes in there.
Oh, I know it does.
Everything imaginable.
Yes. Oh, yes. And many unimaginable things.
Hey, that brings up another thing, too. You know, if it wasn't for any kind of infrastructure, this whole civilization wouldn't exist.
Well, that's true, sir. You're our saviors in a way.
A lot of people don't like that.
Well, no, you have to think of yourself as a sanitary engineer.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Professional sewer worker.
Yes, indeed. All right. Thank you very much for the call.
Right.
And goodbye. So there you have it, his view. Yeah, I lean toward the biological end of things. I really do. You heard me. The end of the world sound would be, I'd be a beginning shot of the end of everything. Wildcard line, you're on the air. Hello.
Your theory about that biological thing, that's probably how it's going to happen. But I think we can actually keep the end of the world from happening if we learn to to love one another, and if we went back to the basis, this country was based on freedom, and they're taking away our freedom, and the right to worship whatever God that you see fit to worship, in whatever way you see fit to worship, and more freedoms are being taken away.
But you see, if you don't worship JC's God exactly, then you're ending up in a boiling pit of sewage, which they are. So it's not like any God, according to some people. You understand that?
Well, it's all the same God. We just have different perspectives. It's like we're all standing inside this great big fence looking out these knot holes into infinity, and each of us sees a different portion of infinity. So if we come back together, instead of killing each other over our visions, if we accept each other's truth, and, you know, we can have a greater, we're still not going to understand infinity, but we'll at least have a greater understanding.
Sir, if truth was absolute, many more of us would kill each other than we do now.
I'll have to think about that.
Yeah, you give that a little bit of thought. In other words, if everybody had to tell the truth to everybody else under any circumstance whatsoever, you could not tell even a little white lie, the death toll would be devastating. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello.
Hello, Art.
Hi.
Hi, this is Sean from Liverpool, New York.
Yes.
Couple quick comments. One on the end of the earth.
Uh-huh.
I think hopefully one thing that all the listeners and callers tonight are aware of, that these are nothing more than the practicality of hypothesis.
Uh-huh.
Because of the mindset of the human brain, we are all, I guess you could say, doomed to have to accept the limitations of our thoughts.
It is, though, interesting that so many people have thoughts regarding the end of the world. I mean, there is no shortage of opinions.
Oh, no.
The
no.
lines are just berserk.
Oh, no. That's the thing about it's the same as, like, intrigue, okay? I wouldn't say I'm exactly a religious aspect, but I can approach the end of the earth from both extremes, if you believe in the evolution of man or if you believe in the other theory. Now, in either aspect, if you look at it, we're still in the simplest forms. As to one of your callers a few hours ago that was talking about, you know, the element of our beings being, like, of light, if you remember that call.
I do.
Okay. The problem is we will have achieved the end of the earth by the other callers mentioning of the red, you know, the red giant and all that, well before we would ever have evolutionized to or metamorphosized to the prognosis of being an element of extreme, you know, light and wisdom and everything.
Before we get there, we'll get ourselves, is what you're saying.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yes, that's much more likely, even according to great brains like Dr. Michio Kaku.
He'll
admit it. I mean, the odds are way against us.
Oh, exactly. That's the problem. We set limitations on ourselves being humans, whether it's the fear factor or the unknown. Like, okay, some people back, you know, in biblical times would think, you know, the plague with the grasshoppers and the frogs from the sky would be a sign of, you know, it's coming, but scientifically we know now that that's nothing more than tornadoes going over body water, picking up animals, dropping them as they weaken. So, I mean, the concepts are we always grasp the quickest answer to something we don't understand.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of like when you go to, you know, go to school.
Having said all this, how do you think the world will end?
Personally?
Yes.
In one aspect, I would have to say, with the amount of different calls you've had in, I have to kind of lean towards what you're saying about, you know, viruses and stuff.
Yeah.
But, I don't actually believe that either, because one thing when it comes to survival, mankind is the only out of all the animal species that actually has the ability to understand his untimely demise.
But man is the only one who can arrange his own demise. He's the only one who has the intelligence, better put a question mark after that, to destroy himself, to remove every vestige of human presence on Earth. He's the only species that has the power that to do that to himself. West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello.
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 Hi, this is Diane from Ocean Park, Washington.
Hey, Diane.
Hi. I think it's going to end very quickly, and we're not going to know what hit us.
Yeah, I've wondered about that one a lot. I mean,
yeah.
if we ran into a black hole or some other cosmic event of that sort, it would be simply, we would simply all cease to exist. The world
exactly.
would cease to exist. Poof, it'd be over. Just not even memories.
Right, and I kind of hope that's how it ends.
Do you?
But I do have a question for you. I I've listened to the show tonight, and you were talking to the gentleman. You asked him if he believed in aliens.
Yes.
And I had a question that came up, and I'd never thought of it before, and it's a very simple question. Why, if our government knows that there are aliens and they've investigated it, why is it such a big secret? What exactly, why do they benefit from keeping it a secret?
Well, I can try to give you an answer.
Okay.
I am. It's that it's the same thing that Brookings came up with when they studied this exact question. And it could be that if there has been contact with an alien race or alien races, some of the questions or answers to the questions that we ponder on this program may already be answered. And it may be that some of the answers are judged by those who judge these things high up in government as not being palatable to the American people. Things, for example, that might suggest that the creator that many of you believe is our creator isn't. That instead, our creators look really weird and are from a planet like Zeta Reticuli. And that they, in fact, are our creators. News like that would tend to go down not well with the world's public. And so that would be one reason, definitely, to keep it secret. I can think of others. You're on the air on the international line. Hello.
Art?
Yes.
Yeah, nice to speak to you. I'm calling from near Toronto, Canada.
Yes, sir.
On CKLW. And it just occurred to me as I was sitting listening that we're in the midst of it, and I'm surprised no one's even thought of it. It just seems to me that the overpopulation that we're into is just, I don't know, it's not actually an end in itself, but it's the means to carry us to our...
Well, we're coming, what, up on 6 billion, I believe.
I think it's well past that now.
Well, maybe past it, yes.
And I mean, you watch at the rate and how quickly it doubles, and apparently we've moved around the water so much in this poor old Earth now that it's actually measurable in the orbit. You know, the things that we do just by our, just how many... 6-7 billion people just carrying on their little daily needs per day.
Well, there are many people who say it is folly to suggest that even 6 billion people could affect the planet's environment in even the tiniest way. It's so, what's the right word, egotistical of us to believe that we could affect something so gigantic. Well, see, I don't feel that way at all. I think 6 billion people can do a hell of a lot.
Well, it's not that gigantic. It's just a ball, 4,000 miles across.
Yeah, that's right.
If you cover it with, just cover it with us and take all the trees away, eventually something has to happen.
That's right.
And it is happening. And you ever hear of the frog in the water sort of scenario?
Yes.
Where you put it in and you read it half a degree per hour and it never notices.
It never notices until
that's what's happening with
boiling.
These people. Go ahead.
No, I said until it's boiling.
Yeah, and we're getting really warm. We're in the hot tub, and these people that say it can't possibly happen are the people that are saying it's not nearly warm enough yet.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's not something that can come from somewhere else. So it's going to appear from the sky. It's right here, right now, and we're right up to our necks in it.
I couldn't agree more. Thank you very much. Whatever it is, it has already begun. A lot of things are underway right now, and it doesn't take a brain surgeon to see that. They're underway right now. The changes that are occurring, as he pointed out, and I've tried to point out, are things that it's very hard to notice because we're living them day by day by day by day. But the weather is changing. Other things are changing at a rapidly increasing pace. It's just that we're not noticing. Well, some of us are. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello.
Hey, Art.
Hi.
This is Patrick in Erie, Pennsylvania.
Yes, sir.
Hey, I can't believe I got through. You know, I must have tried about 100 dials.
Well, I'm glad you made it.
Yeah, this is the second time. The first time I was on, I was a biblical reference in reference to salt. But anyway, about the earth, I would suggest that air, water, fire, and earth, the four common elements.
Yes.
The planet needs air in a system to function, an atmosphere. The scenario would be, I would think that the atmosphere could collapse, thus ending our existence.
It would sure do the trick, and it's happened, for example, it happened to Mars.
Yeah, exactly.
Now, we don't know why. It may have been a pass of some planetary body or some other catastrophe we can't even imagine, but whatever it was, it took the climate of Mars and
that's what I'm getting at. That's the history of it.
Right away, and if that were to happen here, it'd be all over.
Yes, and then water, the planet could literally drown itself. All life and vegetation would be gone due to the polar meltdown.
Water world.
Yeah.
Yes,
and
that's
fire,
another way.
Of course, we would experience huge colossal raging fires like we've never seen, and it would burn out all the land masses, causing severe smoke and ash pollution.
Now we're getting there.
Yeah, and then the last one I figure is Earth itself. I think the Earth itself would self-destruct, such as a burnout or a shutdown of the inner core, or the combination of the three: air, water, and fire elements, thus destroying the Earth.
Maybe the 6 billionth, 543rd millionth, 647,431st person gets here, and that's it.
Yeah. Oh, boy. It was great talking to you.
Well, it was good talking to you. Thank you for the call.
Here in Pennsylvania, you have quite a following here.
Yes, take care, my friend.
You too.
West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hi.
Hi, Art.
Yes.
Oh, some interesting callers tonight.
Oh, yes.
I'm Ann in Truth or Consequences, New Mexico.
Well, that's an interesting name for a town.
Yes. you mentioned how the world is going to end.
Well, I'm asking that, how you think it will end.
Well, there's also when and why and who and what and where, you know, all those questions. And it's the world system that I'm addressing.
Well,
not the Earth. I think the Earth is going to be around for at least another 1,000 years because Scripture says so.
Oh, okay.
And so I think the system is going to start falling apart. We can see it all over the place, you know.
But see, the same book you're talking about says we are not to know the time or the manner.
Yeah, that's true. Right? Not the day or the hour, but the season the time.
But you think another 1,000 years, huh?
Well, that's the eighth day, the seventh day. So
how do you know we're coming
to the end of the sixth day.
How do you know we haven't already just about run past the 1,000 years of peace?
Well, no, we're not into peace yet. We're headed for war. Yeah. We're headed for war. I think the dynamics are in place. And all the sixes, by the way, all the sixes are coming up, 6-6, 6-11, 6-12, and 6-13 next month. Oh, and election day is on Mexican Day of the Dead.
Uh-huh.
That's what I call a spiritual signature.
You're watching signs, aren't
yeah,
you?
Yeah, signs, uh-huh. Spiritual signatures. And I just think Yahweh is just letting man do his thing until he says that's it.
Yeah. Well, somewhere out there, I'm sure they're going six seal. Seventh seal, on and on, right? International line, you're on the air. Hello.
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 Who's there?
Who's there?
Okay, right.
Is this a knock-knock joke?
This is Mark from Toronto.
Ah, Mark. Well, I'm Art from Pahrump.
I know. I've been trying to get in touch with you. One of the things that I wanted to inform you of is I've written a Bible decoder. It's got the end of the world in it too as well type thing.
You have.
And indicates there's seven different religions: Babylonian, Judaic, Christian, Islamic, Buddhistic, and Hinduic, and Chinese.
Yes.
And it's done by number, synthesis by number.
Yes.
And the library in Canada, the cataloging publication, has got it, ciphers in the Bible and numbers in the Bible. I've got it on a CD. I'd like to send you a copy. Would I be able to do that?
Well, you could, yes.
Okay, good.
All right, so what are the big revelations, I guess would be the right way to phrase it?
Well, okay, there's a planet X that's 3,600 Earth years that comes around.
Yes.
Okay, the esoteric value of that is 3,600 hours. And Enoch was born 102 shars, and 102 shars times 3,600 hours is 365,000 hours, which the Jewish have in their folklore books,
and so
they're blessed with 365,000 blessings.
So therefore,
the 1,000-year cryptic millennium reign of Jesus Christ is 365,000 hours. The 500 macrocosmic year flight of the Phoenix is 500 months for the microcosm.
Could you do that again and do it a little faster?
Do it a little what?
A little faster.
The 1,000-year cryptic millennium reign of Jesus Christ is 365,000 hours. The macrocosmic year of flight of the Phoenix, 500 years, is for the microcosm, 500 months. It's in round numbers 42 years. 41.666666 is a mathematical constant in the 365,000-hour number. So they're using these numbers. 500777 is as well because...
You did do it.
Say it again?
I said you did do it, and a little faster.
Oh, yes.
That's quite remarkable. All right. Thank you very, very much for all of that and whatever it means. West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello.
Hello?
Hello.
How's it going?
It's going.
Right on. I was just thinking here on all these theories and everything. I was thinking that the world will end, not the world, but our race, human race as we know it, by the hands of ourselves as it has in the past. This history will repeat itself, as the legends say. This prime example is how we as a race took out another race that's coming over and taking over America, and we have all this pride in doing it.
All right. I'll tell you what. I'm going to have to break it off here and go because we've got a break coming up, but I think I've got it. All right?
All right. Thank you very much. Have a great night.
Have a good night. And no shortage of thoughts on how it's all going to end. We'll be right back.
Take a ride? To talk with Art Bell, call the Wildcard line at area code 775-727-1295. The first-time caller line is area code 775-727-1222. To talk with Art Bell from east of the Rockies, call toll-free 800-825-5033. From west of the Rockies, call 800-618-8255. International callers may reach Art by calling your in-country Sprint access number, pressing option 5, and dialing toll-free 800-893-0903. From coast to coast and worldwide on the Internet, this is Coast to Coast AM with Art Bell.
Hey, y'all. We're just kind of having a laid-back discussion this morning about how you think the world will end. No shortage of opinions on that subject, I can tell you. Somebody faxes me. No, of course not faxing, but somebody does fast blast me here on the computer about whether I've seen the movie called 28 Days. Yes, actually, I have. And it certainly depicts a very horrible end for the world. I wonder if you've seen that. I must admit, 28 Days rocked me back. If you want to see what would be a Mad Max scenario, believe me, 28 Days is the one. I think it's making the circuit right now on the various pay channels, that kind of thing. Wow. First time caller line, you're on the air. Hello.
Hi, Art.
Howdy.
It's Kathy calling from Reseda.
Hello, Kathy.
Hi, I listen to you on KFI.
Yes, ma'am.
And I was just wondering, I heard on your show a while ago that when the next space shuttle goes up and it's grounded by meteor showers,
right,
then the world is close to coming to an end. And I wonder if you could tell me a little bit more about that.
I couldn't tell you. That's what a guest said. He said that would be a sign when the space shuttle returns to Earth because of danger from meteors. Then I guess we'd be in very immediate trouble because, you know, by the time they're warning the space shuttle,
what can we do?
You know, there's only a little bit of atmosphere separates us from the shuttle.
Okay. Thanks, Art.
Yes, good luck to us and take care. As I said, you know, no shortage of opinions about the end of the world. It's interesting that everybody has such strong and strong feelings about the way they think it's going to happen. Quite remarkable, really. Wildcard Line, you're on the air. Hello.
Is that me?
Yeah, it's you.
Art, Matt, the security guard from Tampa.
Yes, sir.
A couple quick things. First, last night you were talking about how buildings like in Alaska that were built on permanent frost are starting to lose their structures and stuff.
Yes.
That sounds vaguely like a book I read a couple of times. Are you familiar with that?
I've heard of books like that.
Yeah, and congratulations on Day After Tomorrow.
Thank you.
Yes. One thing I want to talk about that was really bizarre. I was coming into work today. I drive from St. Pete to Tampa every day. It's about 20 miles.
Uh-huh.
Huge cloud of black smoke, like probably 1,000 feet up in the air. Obviously a big petroleum fire.
Right.
Nobody said a word. Not the radio, not the TV.
Yeah.
I just thought that was kind of interesting.
It is interesting, and I wonder that we would be complacent about something like that to the point of not even reporting on it as amazing.
Or maybe they didn't want to report on it, because tourist season starts down here.
Yeah, well, those kind of pressures do exist, sir. It's kind of like, you know, the beach that finds, you know, somebody sees a shark out in the waters or something, and, you know, the season's coming up for tourists. Do they
all those movies?
Exactly. You know, do they put out the signs and say beach closed, or do they worry about commerce and hope for the best?
Good point.
Thanks. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Good morning.
Morning, Art.
Hi.
Hi. This is Douglas calling from Cedar Rapids, Iowa.
Yes.
WNT 600.
Yes, sir.
And I just saw your movie tonight. Great movie.
Thank you.
Anyway, I don't think your special effects did enough justice to what would really happen. And the only reason I say this is when I was in the Navy, this was from 1962 to 1964, I was stationed on board the United States' largest icebreaker at the time. That was the USS Glacier AGB-4. And we took part in Operation Deep Freeze, where we went down to Antarctica. And you're going to have to use your imagination a little bit on this, but to give you an idea how big the ship was, it was like about 310 feet long, or in other words, larger than a football field.
Right.
And 74 feet wide across the beam. And anyway, we had diesel-electric engines that powered it, 21,000 horsepower, and our props were all 21 feet across.
Okay, I've kind of got the picture. Big.
Anyway, we could cruise through the Antarctic ice that was 2 feet thick at 12 knots.
Wow.
And anyway, if we were called upon, we could break ice 10 to 12 feet thick. But when we departed New Zealand, this was in 1963, and we were south of Campbell Island.
Right.
This would have been about November 11th or 12th. We got caught up in a storm for a full day. And anyway, my best estimation was the waves were 150 feet high or better. And when we were at the crest of the wave.
Yes, I keep losing you. The phone connection is sort of
I'm sorry.
Blinking out on us. So anyway,
when we would be at the at the crest of the wave. These were huge rolling waves.
I can't even imagine.
These were huge rolling waves that didn't break.
Mm-hmm.
And when we were at the crest of the wave, anyway, the bow of the ship would come out of the water as well as the stern. And the props would just, you know, make the whole ship shudder.
Right.
Because they were still going.
Got it.
But anyway, when we'd race down to the trough of the waves, anyway, the waves would come over the bow, and the bridge was like 120 feet back and 60 feet up in the air. Well, the waves would go clear over the ship.
Mm-hmm.
And on board the ship there was a hollow mast with a conning tower, sort of like a crow's nest that was all enclosed. And so I went up to the top of that, and I was 100 feet above the waterline, and I still had to look up to see the top of the waves, like at about 30 to 40 degrees. And
okay, I've got all that.
Anyway, these huge rolling waves, we were in this for like a day,
yes.
Like I said. And anyway, in the movie itself, it only showed the one huge wave that hit New York City.
Oh, I see.
In other words, if there was ever a storm like that,
it would,
you would be pounded by
coming.
Waves for probably a day or better.
Yes, well, sure. But they had to show it as, well, again, you know, I'm not going to discuss, I've got to hold myself back from doing that, the plot of the movie. And so I guess I'm going to have to refrain even right now. But I've been not in quite the dire situation that man was in. But we were in the North Atlantic in conditions that were not too dissimilar. And I, too, went all the way up to the radar dome during this thing that was turning even the crew green. I mean, everybody's in the rooms getting sick. But it didn't bother me for some reason. So I went all the way up to the radar dome and opened the hatch and went through, and my glasses were immediately torn from my face and went scattering across the deck, and only the fact that it was probably 60, 70 mile an hour wind, and only the fact that there was, something to stop them from going overboard did they stop. It was very enjoyable, however, being out in the middle of that raging wild sea. And when he describes waves the way he just did, you can only imagine what 100-foot waves would be like. West of the Rockies, you're on the air.
Hi, Art.
Hello.
My name is Joel, calling you from Bozeman, Montana.
Yes, sir.
And I have quite a different opinion, but the opinion is not my own. I would share with you very quickly some of the apparitions of the Blessed Virgin Mary, one or two that is approved, and one or two that are my favorites that aren't approved, but basically, we're not heading to the end of the world, we're heading to the end of time.
What is an approved vision versus a non-approved vision?
Well, for example, let me take one that one of the major ones that has been approved, the Key to Japan,
okay.
Where the wooden statue that was in the chapel cried real human tears and human blood from the eyes. This was tested by a Japanese scientist and found to be real human tears.
Okay, well, when you say approved, you mean approved by the Vatican, right?
Well, you see, the local bishop has the authority. Bishop Ito was the bishop's name.
But doesn't it ultimately go to the Vatican?
No.
No?
It doesn't have to be.
Really?
The local bishop can, well, he can declare it that something supernatural has taken place.
And yes, but I thought then there had to be almost a court of proof presented at the Vatican, ultimately, for a full-on decision to be made about whether it was really a miracle. I mean, isn't that the test they give saints?
Well, that's true with declaring someone a saint, but for something like this, something of supernatural significance, the local bishop does possess that authority.
Okay.
Well, anyway, now at Akita's, I have some books on, haven't read them entirely, but the chastisement is spoken of there. There are three major events. Let me just share them very quickly. There would first be to mankind a warning or a purification in which every single human being on the face of the earth will have his or her conscience illuminated. We will know exactly where we stand with God, whether we're deserving of heaven or hell. We will have up to about 1 year to straighten ourselves out, if you will, come back to God. And the miracle is supposed to take place within a year. Now, I don't know if there will be miracles at other places, but especially at Garavandal, where the Blessed Mother is purported to have appeared several thousand times to these four young girls in the time period of 1961 to 1965. The miracle will be greater than the miracle that happened at Fatima in 1917. You can see it, you can take pictures of it, but you may not touch it. And in other words, it's going to it will serve as proof that the Blessed Virgin Mary really did appear. And if you have not converted back to God by the time that the great miracle takes place, then it's too late.
So you'd have 1 year.
Yeah, after that comes the chastisement. And I think that, you know, this is going to be pretty much broadcast worldwide. People that are really, I think, have turned back to God will know what to do. For example, let me just use an example from the Old Testament where the people of God, you know, at the time that Moses is going to lead the people out under the evil of Pharaoh, we're told to put the blood of the lamb on their doorposts.
Right.
And they were given specific instructions. That same thing will happen here to the good.
Well, in the modern day, it'll probably be something like hang an LED flashlight.
No, I'll tell you what. I think it's really going to be a kind of reluctant to go into that area, but it's going to be as simple as constantly the Blessed Mother says in the books, or in the messages to Father Gobi in the Marian movement of priests, that you consecrate yourself to the Immaculate Heart of Mary, that you're going to, you're going to be everything you can be for Jesus, so to speak.
All right. Well, listen, this is kind of preaching, so I'm going to hold it here, but I understand the chastisement. And I still think there might be a more modern version of an otherwise bloody door in some way, perhaps a long-lasting flashlight. International Line, you're on the air. Hello.
Oh, hey, it's Kevin calling from Etobicoke, Ontario.
Yes, sir.
I just wanted to clear up the misconception a fellow Canadian made earlier about gas prices here in Canada.
Ah, yes, he said $4 a gallon.
Yeah, first of all, 4 liters is a little bit more than a gallon, I believe. Also, the worst I've heard of it across Canada is not even 95 cents, but let's say 95 cents for 4 liters. Or 1 liter.
Mm-hmm.
4 liters, that'd make it 380. But that's 380 Canadian, which works out to about 250, 260 American.
Does it really?
Yeah, so we're not much worse off or better off than you guys are.
Oh. Well, that does clarify it somewhat. I mean, when he says $4, that, you know, it's a gigantic shock to us.
Oh, there would be a revolt here if it was $4, believe me. I don't live too far from the Buffalo border. I'd be going over there with gas cans everywhere.
I bet everybody would.
Yeah.
Gas would be a big, well, maybe before it's all over, a big black market item, huh?
Sure, sure. And this is the end of the world. I think it's going to be mankind that brings ourselves down. I don't think it's going to be natural causes, or mankind will trigger a natural cause. I have an 8-year-old boy. He's my world. I love this boy to death. And
why do I think somebody, for some reason, is going to suggest soon that we put an atomic bomb down in a fault line?
In a what?
In a fault line.
Yeah.
For some reason or another, I have a feeling somebody is going to suggest it for some reason.
Why's that?
It's not going to be a good idea when they do.
Would think so.
In my opinion.
I tell you, if I saw the Nichols Burg video 10 years ago before my son was born, I would think twice before I had a child.
Indeed. Thank you very much.
All right, thanks, Art.
Take care. West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello. Hello. Going once, going twice, gone. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hi.
Hello, Art.
Hello.
Hi there. This is Joe from New Ulm, Minnesota.
Hey, Joe.
I have a theory about the end of the world, possibly end of humanity, a cross-species jump. I think it's going to hop out of a Chinese lab. I don't trust them. The SARS, the West Nile, the Hong Kong, and one of these days, one of them's going to get out of control.
Well,
what do you think about that?
I have wondered for a long time. I understand the population density in China.
There's so many birds. Why do they have so many birds all over the place?
Well, again, why does everything like this come out of China? I mean, is it sufficient to say they have so many people packed so close together, and that's why this happens? I'm not so comfortable with that.
Aren't you remember last year, the SARS?
when it hit Canada.
Yes, I remember.
It was the strangest thing. It got to Toronto, but it somehow didn't cross the Niagara Falls to Buffalo.
You're right.
How could that be?
I don't know.
And also, I don't think there's going to be a thermonuclear exchange because of the Jesus factor or the alien factor. I can think of four times in recent years. How about the Berlin airlift? How about the 7 days war in Egypt and Israel?
Yes.
How about the India border Pakistan conflict and the apartheid in South Africa? There's five times it could have easily ended up in thermonuclear exchange.
Could have.
Those five, and nothing happened.
And you believe...
I think that the detonations were prevented.
Yes, you believe that there was a book called The Jesus Factor.
But that was Jesus. I actually think it was our little friends out there. They don't want our planet blown out of its orbit because that would disrupt everything else.
But isn't that, though, a terribly dangerous tenet to embrace? Because if you embrace that tenet, then... You could almost act recklessly, thinking, oh, it doesn't matter.
That's true, but Jen, remember the other night you said North Korea is insane? If they're insane, why haven't they used it? They've got it. Why don't they use it? And they're nuts. They have nothing to lose.
Well,
and they haven't.
That they have not yet done it doesn't mean they won't. I mean, we're getting regular demonstrations, sir, every day now in Iraq of people willing to blow themselves
That's
up.
That's true. But I think about the India-Kashmir-Pakistan war, and believe me, Pakistan is Muslim. They wouldn't hesitate for a second.
That's right. They wouldn't.
And why didn't they do it?
Well, I'm not as comfortable with what you call the Jesus factor or whatever, you know, the little green alien factor.
I don't know what color they are, but I honestly think there's some sort of interventionary power that's preventing this, because I don't have much faith in humans' ability not to use the weapons. If there's a weapon there, Art, you know it's been used. It will be used.
Well, I don't think the odds are good because the weapons are there, and the people willing to destroy themselves and the rest of the world, they're also there, plenty of those people. So it's just a matter of time until one gets in the hands of the other, and then time's up.
Yeah, they don't adhere to the MAD, the Mutual Assured Destruction Theory.
They don't
though.
Even fit into that. There's nowhere they fit into that. They want Mutual Assured Destruction.
And it worries me because, you know, basically an atomic bomb is not hard to build. Only the materials are hard to obtain. Right. Not hard to build one.
That's right. Well,
I don't know where to go from that.
I don't either, but I think what you have said is a perfect ending to a night when we ask about the possibility of the end of the world.
It's a real honor to get through, Art. I've been trying for years, and I love your show, and I hope everything goes well for you.
Thank you so much, and I appreciate your getting... That's it for the weekend, folks. We're done already. Man, that flew by. From the high desert, I'm Art Bell. See you next weekend. Good night.
Midnight in the desert, shooting stars across the sky. This magical journey will take us on a ride, filled with a longing, searching for the truth. Will we make it till tomorrow? Will the sun shine on you?